from Staten Island and Frank from Queens.
International Talk Radio.
We got a caller from Iceland. We got a call from Melbourne, Australia. Good day, mate.
Featuring.
Hello, Ulrika. Shedding the light of truth on news from the dark continent.
I was foaming at the mouth, listening from pole to pole, Iceland and South Africa.
This Canada.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is wonderful.
I've never seen anything like it.
That's The Right Perspective, heard every Friday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, over shortwave WWCR 3215 megahertz and the internet at therightperspective.com.
And good evening. This is The Right Perspective. I'm Frank of Queens, along with my good friend and co-host, John of Staten Island.
All right, one more time, folks.
And we're here tonight from 10 until 11 p.m. Eastern, Northern Great Salutrian Daylight Savings Time on the Two Friends Radio Network, transmitting on 3.215 megahertz WWCR, and we broadcast from the Rod Coppola Memorial Studio and Richard D. Henderson Two Friends Network broadcast production facilities here in the Metropolitan New York area. And you could reach us at 718-761-9996. 718-761-9996, whatever you'd like to talk about. Returning to these microphones at 10:30 will be Philip Berg, who, as you know, had taken out a lawsuit to find out just what happened to Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama's real birth certificate, and he'll have an update on that story. So we're going to find out what is going on with this as we head into the final weeks of the presidential campaign. Imagine this, you don't even have a U.S. citizen in the White House. You wouldn't have a U.S. citizen in the White House telling you what the hell to do. This country is, you know, it's funny, in the 1960s, like 68, they said, oh, America was having a nervous breakdown. Well, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. I wasn't. I was around then, and I don't remember that. You know, you had a couple of people got shot, got killed, but, I mean, the average American went to work, went to school. So, but that was a creation of the Ministry of Lies. But you know what? America will have a nervous breakdown if Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama gets into office through fraud. We see the fraudulent activities of Acorn, voter registration. We see it. We see it. And you know, there's an individual here who's returned to local talk radio in New York, a rather elderly gentleman who should have stayed in Florida and retired and enjoy the many millions he's accrued. I guess he just figures he's going to take it with him. And you know, somebody called him and said that, are we going to have a civil war? Are we in the throes of an America that was divided in the pre-Civil War if Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama gets elected? Well, the truth is, this rather elderly gentleman said no, but it is true. It is coming, because the type of repression that is coming has never been seen in this country, not even during World War II by Roosevelt. This is a different kind of oppression. This is a kind of repression that's going to tell you basically your Constitution means absolutely nothing, that you have no right to freedom of speech. You have no right to bear arms. You have no right to assembly. You watch. All the signs are out there. All the words are out there. The signals are out there. And the American people who will not countenance this. They're going to wake up and find that this man will be building a jail for them. brick by brick. And you could believe it when you see what is going on. You know, John McCain, who really doesn't have the killer instinct to finish this bastard off, because John McCain, who said William Ayers, a washed-up old terrorist. Now, wait a minute. No. This man is a criminal. He believes in a murderous philosophy and ideology. Bolshevism is a philosophy of murder, and he believes in that philosophy. His wife is a convicted terrorist. His organization that both of them belong to had people killed. And isn't it the irony of irony that those who hated the middle class life in the United States of America now live that middle class life with all its benefits as tenured professors in college? You know, here you have two communist scumbags, terrorists, and all we hear from Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama is, oh, he's a professor. What the hell does that mean, you dumb bastard? What do you think, you're talking to a fool? He's a professor. So what? I demand now, if they could have communist Bolshevik terrorists like William Ayers and his wife, Bernadine Dorn, whose organization was responsible for the deaths of innocent people, teach as professors in college, I demand that David Duke have a full professorship in a university. That's right. I demand David Duke have a full professorship. Hey, he didn't kill anybody. Did he kill anybody? Look, we may dislike and disagree and even find repulsive and repellent in what he believes, but nevertheless, we've got to have an equality of opportunity for students to hear all sides. Isn't that right? And, you know, they got some old 94-year-old Nazi running around in South America, and they're searching for him. No, I say bring him here to the U.S. and put him in a college just like William Ayers so he can teach real national socialism. After all, this scumbag William Ayers can get into a university, and yes, he'll teach Marxist ideology and Marxist philosophy. And well, let's get some old Nazis in these universities to start teaching real national socialism. Now, not the Hitlerite national socialism, but the real national socialism of the founder of the National Socialist Workers' Party, Anton Drexler. I want to see some Drexlerite national socialists teaching in our universities, just like William Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. Why shouldn't we have a plethora of ideas and taught? See, but if you're a Bolshevik, and there's no such thing really as a former Bolshevik, you it's different. It's different. You meant well. And, you know, this was the mistake of your youth. Mistake of their youth, huh? Said he wished he'd have done more on September 11th. I'll get that son of a bitch in front of me. He could have gone to Rod Coppola's funeral and seen his wife and his children there. And then he could have said that. All right? That's what they put in. That is who is connected to Barack Hussein Obama. So don't tell me now he's a professor. Suddenly, that washes it away. But isn't it the height of hypocrisy when Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama talks about slavery as the original stain on America? Oh, that stain can't be washed out, can it? But the stain of a Bolshevik terrorist, well, he's reformed now. What does that mean? What the hell does that mean when they say he's reformed? It means less than absolutely nothing. So let's put in some National Socialism, former Klansmen. Let's put them back in. Let's put them in our universities. Let them teach. Let them give all sides of the story. Yes, well, you may have this 94-year-old Nazi running around in South America, but he should be brought because, after all, that was then. That was 60 years ago, and this is now. We have to have David Duke. He's an intelligent and an articulate young man, or not even young anymore, but I mean, and he should be on our university. He should have a full tenured professorship. See, that's the poison that's in our schools, and that is the stupidity of the Republican Party, that they cannot jump on this and rip this apart. That he can make a remark like that. You mean to tell me that Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama shook hands with this man? He was he didn't have to serve with him. He didn't have to serve with him. Why don't they say to him, wait a minute, boy, would you have served with a former Klansman? You think he would have? He could have walked out and said, I will not sit on the same board as this terrorist. Whether it happened if he was 8 years old or whatever, now that's a lame excuse that they allow him. That's what you say to him. Would you have served with a Klansman? Wouldn't you have gotten up and walked out? Would you have accepted it? But they're pathetic. And that's the danger of what's coming to this country. If Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama is elected, look what they're doing to this guy called Joe the Plumber. Think of that. You know, as I once said with Lillian Hellman, like all Bolsheviki, they do not just defeat someone, but they go to utterly destroy and obliterate the person. That's what her god, Lillian Hellman's god, Joseph Stalin, did during the purges. And that's what these Bolsheviki that are in the so-called Democrat Party want to do to this man. Because he caught this man. See, without the teleprompter and the carefully recited rhetoric of Muhammad Obama, his real personality and beliefs emerge from the shadows. And when he said spread the wealth, when he uses a term sacrifice, as I've said, when you hear the word sacrifice, you grab for whatever rifle you have, because that means they're coming to take everything you have. They did 50 years of sacrifice in Cuba. Where are they? They did 75 years of sacrifice in the Bolshevik experiment. They are doing sacrifice in North Korea. You name the country run by the Bolsheviks, it's all you ever heard. We're sacrificing for the future. And when he talks about spreading the wealth around, why didn't John McCain say, wait a minute, where does it say that in the Constitution? Show me where in the Constitution. Because there's going to be no Constitution. He doesn't believe in the Constitution. The Constitution for him and his ilk does not exist. And let me tell you, if those people could kill Joe the Plumber, they would kill him. Because they want to destroy his name. As one of the gladiators said to Russell Crowe's character in the movie Gladiator, when he said to him, first they have to destroy your name before they destroy you. And that's what they want to do, destroy his name. And if they could, they'd have taken this guy out and they'd have put a bullet in his head. That's the hatred that's out there. And it is fanned, and it is aided and enabled and embedded by the Ministry of Lies, which is on his side and which hates this country, for them to go after this man. Why didn't they go after Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama the same way? Why didn't they? Because they're in the tank for him. And that's what they did, saying this man isn't a plumber, he's not registered to vote. Let me tell you something, after 4 years of you having it shoved in your face you're a racist, you are going to see in this country a so-called white backlash, the type of which they talked about happening in the 1968 election. You will see it in ways that were unimaginable when people are going to get tired of being suppressed by having that shoved in their face, whether it's this old fart, John Murtha, congressman who said the people of Western Pennsylvania are racist. You're going to see, and I only pray that on the day of the election, people decide to vote white. If 92% of Negroes in this country are going to vote for this guy strictly on his race, you can't tell me white people shouldn't vote based on theirs. There's nothing wrong with it. If you look at Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama, he epitomizes in history, also in historical character, and that character was the Roman Emperor Septimius Severus, who became Emperor of Rome, who spoke Latin with a thick Carthaginian accent and was called Carthage's Revenge. He literally brought about the decline of the Roman Empire. He extended citizenship to everyone. Same here. Hey, Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama wants to give illegal aliens driver's license. You have illegal aliens are going to be voting in this election. Does it really mean anything with your American citizenship? Just as once Roman citizenship made the Romans unique. So here in this country, our citizenship was something quite valuable and it was worth dying for. But his plans are the same. Make it worthless. And you study Septimius Severus and you see the parallels that are going on now and that will happen if this man is elected. And that's what we are faced with right now. And Joe the Plumber epitomizes. He epitomizes the individual in this country who they are going to try to frighten and intimidate, and eventually they're going to prosecute and punish for daring to speak out. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Frank. That was magnificent. And vintage Frank, as that old man you were talking about before used to say all the time at the end of your phone calls. And, you know, Joe the Plumber, the type of guy that the left-wing Democrats always talk about championing all the time, you know, along with gays and every other specific group, blue-collar workers. But now he's in their way. Now he embarrassed. Well, he didn't do the embarrassing. Obama embarrassed himself, and he screwed up. He talked about transferring the wealth when he was simply answering a question by Joe the Plumber, and he came right out and, you know, in an unguarded moment, he told us what he's all about, and he embarrassed himself. And now, the same people that the Democrats talk about standing up for all the time, blue-collar workers, now he's in the way, just like they do to the gays. See, they always talk about gay rights and how wonderful it is. Have gay pride parade, you should be proud to be gay. But when they find out that an opponent may have gay tendencies, then they try to use their gay tendencies against them. And the perfect example is when Ed Koch ran against Mario Cuomo here in New York. And there was suspicions that Ed Koch, because he was never married and he's kind of, you know what, looks
light in the loafers.
That's right, double gated. The slogan was vote for Cuomo, not the homo. So they don't really stand up for anything except what they can use against people at the moment to win an election. Suddenly all their principles go out the window. And now Joe the Plumber has to be ruined. His reputation has to be ruined. Well, it can't be ruined because we're not going to allow these Obama maniacs to turn it around and make it out that the Joe Plumber is the bad guy, the guy that's going to be the victim of this communist's tax policies. And now you're going to blame the victim, which is what the left always ends up doing if the victim is someone that stands in the way of their grab of political power. You can't get by the fact that it was Obama who said, use the term transfer of wealth. You can't get past it. Obama, you said it. And that's the subject that should be addressed, Not whether Joe the plumber really has a license or whether he makes $250,000 or not. He never said that, by the way. He said one day he would like to when he owns the business. No, it's what you said that caused a lot of trouble for you, and people are really starting to see what you are. Maybe that's why the polls are closing up a little bit. I still think it's too late, but who knows what the American people may do on November 4th if they get a little queasy about this phony. And the escape hatch excuse that he used was when it comes to Bill Ayers. They all, you know, all the mouthpieces for Obama. He was only 8 years old when he was doing that stuff. Yeah, well, when they both got older, when Obama got older and a little bit more politically aware, he still hung around with this guy and he was associated with him. And by then he knew that this guy's a no good commie, lefty, anti-American traitor. And he knew it. And it's not just a Bill Ayers type that he hung out with. What about Jeremiah Wright and everybody else he was associated with and praising Louis Farrakhan? They're all of the same left-wing, America-hating, revolutionary ilk. It's not just Bill Ayers. If he were the only one, then you might say, well, Obama was naive. But this guy had a habit of hanging around with America haters. You can't use the excuse that you were 8 years old. The fact is, you sought out everyone you could that hated this country. And that's who you associated with. So there's no doubt as to what your political thinking is. And I hear callers to talk show, like tonight. I don't understand how the American people can vote for somebody like this when you learn about what this guy is all blah, blah, blah. Well, I can understand it very easily, folks. Look. You've got all these young voters out there, all these brainwashed airheads in our colleges. And it started in grammar school. Republicans bad, Democrats good, conservatives evil, liberals just wonderful people. It's been pounded into their heads. The brainwashing started and the indoctrination started long ago. You've got the a couple of generations already that just automatically will vote Democrat because this is all that's been pounded in their head since the 1960s. It's very easy to see why they all just knee-jerk react. I'm voting for Obama. I don't know why, but I'm voting for him. He's a Democrat. Wait till when they go to work and have to, you know, when their mother and father aren't providing three meals a day and have the roof over their head, and they have to buy their own house and pay their own taxes and get out there and earn a living. Well, they're going to find out what their teachers, these left-wing teachers, did to them. And that the dopey Supreme Court, you're going to have more types of these judges and rulings with Obama because I guarantee you 6 months after he's elected, the Ginsburg types are going to retire. And he's going to be appointing, and he came out and said it the other day, he's not going to be appointing constitutionalist judges. He's going to be appointing judges that have his views on social issues.
Little Mugabe.
So now you're going to have a Democrat Congress, a Democrat Senate, a communist for a president.
Dictatorship.
And a left-wing Supreme Court.
Dictatorship.
Great times are ahead for America,
folks. Dictatorship.
Yeah, that's it. One-party rule.
Yeah. Now, remember, as I said, and, you know, I was talking to the news guy, our producer, and I said to him, we were talking about Barack Hussein, Muhammad Obama, and Phil Berg coming back on the program. And, you know, I said, you know, news guy, I believe Larry Sinclair now. Remember Larry Sinclair came on back in February, said he had oral sex with Barack Muhammad Hussein Obama, and he sold him cocaine. And I believe this guy. I believe Larry Sinclair. I mean, it seemed at the time so outrageous. You know, I mean, come on. But yet, look at this guy's connections. Could you believe a man he running for president who, if he was applying for a job at the Secret Service or FBI, would never have get it? He would have never have cleared. Yet, here he is. He consorted with terrorists. So
He loves the 1960s types.
So why not believe Larry Sinclair's story? Because who would have ever believed as outrageous a story as all of the things about Barack Muhammad Obama that have turned out to be true? I believe Larry Sinclair. And the fact is that his story was so outrageous that people couldn't possibly believe it. But yet, something in the back of my mind said, well, it could be. And as I realize more and more, look at his associations. I demand again, and I will say it, I demand David Duke be given a full professorship, maybe Harvard or Princeton or, you know, Caltech, because if William Ayers can have a professorship and he's a communist and his group murdered people, David Duke, who he was a member of the Klan, but he was never responsible for anybody's murder. And let's get that old 94-year-old Nazi running around in Patagonia. Bring him in. It was a long time ago, 60 years. Why, most of us weren't even born at the time. I mean, how can we condemn this man just because he was a National Socialist? I mean, it was then, this is now. Give him a chance, and we should have a full ideological and intellectual perspective and a spectrum taught in our universities, just like his wife, Bernadine Dorn, can teach. Isn't that right? Yeah. Isn't that fair?
Yeah, and, to get back to what I was saying about the Supreme Court, Frank, they turned down
the
lower court's ruling that this woman, who is one of the big shots out there in Ohio, that she doesn't have to validate those possible 200,000 illegal registrations. Imagine. How do you do that?
How do you do it?
Yeah, but this is a right-wing Supreme Court, the left always
right,
said, right?
Right
Another
right.
lefty ruling.
Well.
And, of course, the Democrats are up to their old tactics now, folks. Obama's in Florida trying to frighten the senior citizens. Once again, they're back to the old claim that the Republicans are going to take away your Medicare. It hasn't happened in the last 10 election cycles, but yet they say the same thing. So whenever they get down there in the retirement communities, they always talk about how the Republicans are going to take away everything from the senior citizens.
But they're going to take away our freedom of speech.
And they're going to take away our way of life. And you have one of the leftover has-beens from the three major news.
I got to get this in. I'm sorry. I got to get this in. You know, he gets up, Barack Hussein Muhammad Obama, and says, we've got to spread the wealth, right?
Yes.
Who's giving a concert for him? Bruce Springsteen. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't this the same son of a bitch that didn't want to pay his roadies?
Yeah.
That they had to sue him, a multi-millionaire. But when it came to Bruce Springsteen's pocket, he wouldn't pay, he wouldn't spread his wealth, but he's for Obama. What a bunch of hypocritical scum.
Yeah, and talk about hypocrisy, Frank. I'm glad you brought that up because it reminded me last night at the Al Smith dinner. He's there talking about this great city that he's in, you know, New York, and this very wealthy city and all that. And yet there's people out there who can't find a job that pays enough money to support them. Meanwhile, his wife is in the Waldorf Astoria ordering caviar
and lobster
and all kinds of fancy meals.
Speaking of Florida, that Jew bitch, and I want to get her on the show, that Jew bitch, Sarah Silverman, she made that video that young Jews should tell their grandparents they're not going to visit them in Florida unless they vote for Barack Muhammad Hussein Obama. Yet, I want to get her on, put this Jew bitch, and that's what she is on. She goes, I'm a Jewy Jew. I'm not really. I want her to come on and debate Cheryl. Why don't you come on and debate Cheryl? Because you heard what Jesse Jackson said. So that's the taste of what you're going to get. So all of these Jews are just going to get into the voting cattle car and vote for this man. And then they're going to cry, what? So, you know, you're going to get what you deserve because you got someone like this nothing, this foul-mouthed pig, Sarah Silverman, and she's up there telling her, you know, it's sick. It's a sickness.
And how it is a sickness when you put your politics ahead of whether you're going to visit your parents, unless they do, would you dictate? These people would have made perfect Nazis or perfect Stalinists.
Yeah.
Where they would turn in their own parents.
I challenge Sarah Silverman to come on this program and debate Cheryl of New Jersey. All right, and we'll be back with Philip Berg right after 718-761-9996.
Whatever. You know, Frank McQueen, you know, there's some people that get on my nerves. They're so predictable. They call. Frank McQueen's very unpredictable. I mean, as far as the timing of his calls.
Well, Myra's talked about how there's been plenty of nights you spend hours down in your basement working on some kind of radio or something. Well, none of us have ever seen that radio.
Go ahead, Steve. What kind of radio set you working on? I never seen it. Neither has anyone else. Who talks to you on that radio set, and who do you talk to?
Well, I'm surprised at you, Charlie. How come you're so dense all of a sudden? Who do I talk to? I talk to...
Oh, okay, I got him.
Yep. Okay, our guest, Philip Berg. We have him on. We have him on the
line
phone.
Line three.
He's on line three, and just let me do the intro. Tonight's guest first appeared on our show back in August to talk about his lawsuit against the Federal Elections Commission, the DNC, and the Democrat Party candidate Barack Hussein Mohammed Obama. Tonight he returns to give us the latest on what's going on with his efforts. That asks the question, is Obama a natural-born citizen? So let's welcome back, please, lawyer Philip Berg. Welcome back to The Right Perspective, Phil.
Hi, Phil.
How you doing? My pleasure to be on your show again.
Yeah, thanks for joining us again.
Yes, and we've been waiting to find out what's been happening with your case and the candidate and the DNC. So could you fill us in?
Sure. I wish I could tell you we had something definitive at this point, but we're waiting patiently for a ruling by the judge. Back in August, for some of your listeners who are new here, we filed on August 21st, and on August 22nd, we served by fax, not official serve, but just we wanted them to have notice of it to Barack Obama and the FEC and the Democratic National Committee. We're formally served on September 4th. Their response was due September 24th. They filed a joint motion to dismiss on September 24th at the DNC and Obama, which I thought was an outrage because they have different responsibilities. Obama has a responsibility as a candidate, but the DNC has a responsibility to make sure that they're putting forth legitimate candidates. And if they didn't know about it before, they knew about that time, and Howard Dean should have called in Barack Obama and said, what's the story? Are you natural born? Or are you not? Do you have papers to prove it? If not, you're off the ticket. By letting it go and then filing a joint motion to dismiss, Howard Dean has done a disservice to everyone in this country, especially all Democrats in this country, and he should resign his position. So they filed a joint motion to dismiss. We would have 2 weeks to respond to that. The judge's secretary called, said the judge would like your response in 5 days. We responded in 5 days, and that was by September 29th. And this Monday, it'll be 3 weeks from that day, still no word from the judge, which really has not made us happy because we want some decision because, you know, if it's not our way, which it should be, we could go up to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals or to the Supreme Court of the United States. Just last week, I got a phone call from the attorney for the Democratic National Committee and Obama saying to me, would you agree to forego delay discovery until the judge rules on the motion to dismiss. And I said, absolutely not. So then they filed a motion for a protective order stating that they don't want to respond to the discovery until the judge rules on the motion to dismiss. I filed a response 2 days later opposing that. That's still in front of the judge. Also, during the period of time, I filed another motion, a motion for expedited discovery, including the taking of the deposition of Howard Dean and Barack Obama. The judge has not ruled on that one either yet. So we're in limbo. Our website, since I spoke to you, has grown unbelievable. Our website is ObamaCrimes, ObamaCrimes.com, ObamaCrimes.com. Believe it or not, as of this morning, we have had in 7 weeks, we're up to 44 million. That's 44 million hits on our website.
That's incredible.
It really is. I mean,
Yesterday
we had 2.6 million. That's more than people get forever on their websites. We had that in one day. Also on Google, keeps track of the millions of websites around, and as of yesterday, we were 25th of all websites on Google. So it's really spreading like wildfire. The national media still has not covered it. We made a little headway this past week. I was on Fox News, Toledo, Ohio. That's where I graduated law school, and that's up on our website. People can see it. I'm telling people out in these various areas throughout the country, if there's a Fox News station in your area, email them and tell them, here's the story that was done in Toledo, Ohio. Why aren't you reporting on this? And also on our video, there's a Illuminati Movies did a movie of me at Independence Hall where I set forth most of the details of this case.
Now, let me ask you, if it's found out that he's not really a citizen, but God forbid he's elected, what are they going to do? I mean, could you then sue him to get him? Would you sue the Congress to impeach him? I mean, this is like a political nightmare if they don't.
If they don't do something soon, we definitely have a constitutional crisis. You can see what Obama has turned out to be a real liar. And I can say that because of the fact that he hasn't responded to this. He has applied for office. He's basically saying, McCain and Obama are basically saying, will you hire me for the next 4 years to serve as your president? And with that, there's an understanding that they have the qualifications to run.
Right.
And basically, Obama's saying, you know, I don't care about the Constitution. I can step all over that. I guess it fits into a scheme. He says he's a candidate for change. I guess that means change all the rules, too.
That's not right.
This is the first time in the history of our government that anyone has done something like he's doing. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger from California, people talk to him and say, why don't you run for president? And he said, go amend your constitution because he's a naturalized citizen. Barack Obama at this point is, I'm 100% sure he was born in Kenya, which would knock him out. But assume for a minute he was born in Hawaii. He's knocked out when he goes to Indonesia. His parents divorced. And his mother remarried here in the United States. In Obama's book, he states, my stepfather, that's Lolo Sotoro, went back to Indonesia before my mother and I. When I got there, I immediately went to school. Well, in the 1960s, Indonesia was at war. The only ones who could go to school in Indonesia were Indonesia citizens. So Obama would have had to been either adopted by his stepfather or acknowledged by his stepfather as his son. Either way, then he could have gone to school. Now, we have his school record up on our site, ObamaCrimes.com. His school record says that, what's your name? Over the name there, his name was Barry Sotoro. What's your nationality? Indonesia. What's your religion? Islam. This is the person who says, I've never been a Muslim. Excuse me. So then, at the age 10, his mother sends him back to live with her parents in Hawaii. Now, one of two things happened at that point. He either went through immigration or didn't. If he went through immigration, he then would become a naturalized citizen, and that would appear on a certificate of citizenship, which we haven't seen. If, on the other hand, they sent him back to Hawaii not through immigration, on, like, say, the Indonesia passport or whatever, however he went to Indonesia, then today, believe it or not, he would be an illegal alien, and he would be subject to arrest and deportation, not eligible to hold his seat in the United States Senate from Illinois. So he's got some real problems in front of him. We have our problems, but the judge hasn't moved on the case. So we're thinking how we can go ahead and move this case, and that's what we're working on this weekend.
You know, Philip, thinking about you today, why has the media, I was thinking, why has the media totally ignored this? I mean, you're not a kook. You're not some screwball. I mean, you're a lawyer. I mean, you know, you're a legitimate person that raises legitimate questions. I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts. So why are they ignoring you? Well, why do they ignore you, but they go after Joe the plumber and they're looking here and there? Because if the media gave you the spotlight that you deserve, then they're afraid it would open up this can of worms and this election would change overnight. And they don't want this. They are truly afraid to have the, I personally think they're afraid of riots. They're afraid of, you know, saying that you were paid off by McCain or whatever. But they really don't want this open, and that's why they're trying to ignore this.
Well, I think it's more than that. I think in the last 20 months, unfortunately, our national media, which is owned by only three or four corporations, has taken the position that Obama is going to be president. It's time for a black to be president. If anyone raises any questions about it, then you're a racist. Well, I'm not a racist. I happen to be a lifetime member, white, but I'm a lifetime paid-up member of the NAACP. So they can take that off the table again.
But, you know, Philip, that's and I have to say, to me, that's a mistake you're making. And that's why I'm afraid of an Obama presidency. Just the fact that you have to rationalize that you, by saying, well, I'm not. Is that what we would have in 4 years? Anytime someone criticizes this guy, they'd have to say, oh, I'm not a racist.
No,
but
no.
The
reason I'm saying it, because I've been challenged by being a racist by some people.
Who cares?
And what I'm saying here is that the national leaders better get together in this country. Black, white, Hispanic, every national leader should get together. Republican, Democrat, rabbis and priests and cardinals should get together and say, if there's any rioting in this country, it's due to one reason. And the one reason is what? The one reason it would be is because Obama has lied. There's no reason for a riot in this country. And people should know that the only one at fault here is who? It's Obama. Obama knows his status. He taught constitutional law. He knows what's going on. The people around him know what's going on. Howard Dean knows what's going on. And I think at the right appropriate time, the right authorities should look at it, because I think certain people should be held criminally liable
yes.
for their actions during this campaign, because Obama has a big responsibility, doesn't he, to the people, the over 18 million people that voted for him, and how about the people that raised over $500 million for him in a campaign that basically is illegal?
That's
I mean, that's what we have to look at.
Well, you know, look. When you're talking about people on the left who would support an Obama, you can throw anything that has to do with responsibility or what's right or decent right out the window. Because when it comes to the left, the only thing that matters is grabbing and holding on to power no matter how they get there. Frank was just talking about this broad Silverman.
Sarah Silverman,
who... she wants all these Jews to refrain from going to Florida to visit their parents unless their parents vote for Obama. They will put Obama in their politics ahead of family.
That's right.
This is how sick they are.
Is that what she did?
Sarah Silverman. Excuse me?
I missed. When did she do? When
she did
she say
this
that?
Last week. She did a YouTube or a video, and, you know, it's called Schlep or Schlepping. So that they shouldn't go to Florida to visit their grandparents unless they're going to vote for Obama. You know, she's a Joan Rivers wannabe. She has a show on the Comedy Channel. She's not funny, but she's suicidal because she's for Obama. But I would like to ask you this. The Nigerian living in Norway that says he has an audio tape of Michelle Obama saying that Obama was adopted by his father, his stepfather, Lolo Sotero. Is that true?
He says he has it. I spoke to Mr. Corsi, who spoke to him, I think, also. My assistant spoke to him. We're pretty sure that he has that tape. More important in that tape, if they have it, is that supposedly Michelle Obama is, like, really blasting the African people, saying, why aren't you supporting wholeheartedly my husband? you know, the racist comments back here in the United States. She really goes off on a tangent. It just reinforces the fact that he was adopted, but I think the school record reinforces that he's adopted. The fact that he was in school, which he says in his book he was there. I mean, there's certain things. Obama has made a number of statements which sort of justifies the fact that he was in school there, and the only way he could have been in school there was by being a citizen. And I think we have him, you know, I think he knows. The sad thing is he knows, and he's trying to pull the wool over all our eyes, and it's a disgrace.
Steve Marquis, who has filed his own lawsuit to get Obama's birth certificate. Do you have any information on that?
Well, that's the suit up in Washington State. I haven't read it yet. We're looking at it. We're right now preparing, so if anyone wants to do it, they should contact us. Some people are contacting us that we should file suits in many states, and we're planning on that early next week. So if any of your listeners want to do that, they can email us through our website and put down the state and where they're interested in doing it. But we're thinking of doing it in 5, 10, 15 states, even up to 50 states, to the Secretary of State of each state saying, you know, you must pull him off the ballot because doesn't meet the qualifications for president. So I haven't looked at the one in Washington. I will be looking at it soon.
Would you take a phone call?
Sure.
Okay, we have Steve in Chicago would like to speak to you.
Hi, Steve.
Go ahead, Steve. You're on with Philip Berg.
Yes, in the Chicago papers, both Sun-Times and Tribune and the U.S. News and World Report, they said Resco is talking and is incriminating people. What could we do to get the U.S. attorney, Patrick Fitzgerald, who stuck Judy Miller in jail, what could we get him to do to either exonerate or declare Mr. Obama as a person of interest?
Contact his office. Call his office. Go down to his office. You know, call up. Go down there, have a, you know, pick at his office, or go down there, everyone call his office. You know, he's supposed to be an excellent prosecutor, and, you know, do your thing here, because there is some criminal conduct done here, no question, by Obama.
See, the situation is people would be voting under the false premise that, you know, there is no questionable activity. They think, well, he's got a clean record. Any other thing, the FBI was out in front with this Richard Jewell, and they were talking about that Mayfield up in, what is it, Washington, where the one about that terrorist bombing in Spain. And they were very much out in front with that. But right now they can't make any kind of a statement. And how do you get it done if this guy does get elected and they have a Democratic U.S. attorney?
Well, more than that, they have a Democratic Congress at that point, and they'll never impeach him. That's why we're working hard to accomplish this before the election. And I'm going to do everything in my power to get it resolved before the election.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
And Philip, we want to thank you for coming on The Right Perspective. Could you give your website again, please?
Sure. ObamaCrimes.com. ObamaCrimes.com. Please visit our website. Spread it to your friends. Contribute some money. Stay with us. Monitor us. We're going to get this to the bottom of this in the next 2 weeks.
Thank you. We hope you'll come back again.
I definitely will.
Yeah, thank you, Phil.
Good night.
For
thank
the update.
You. And that was now we need desperate help on The Right Perspective, or we're going to make it. We're not going to make it to the 10th anniversary on shortwave. So if you could help us out, and we need a lot of help, if you can, if you've given before, but you could do it again, we really appreciate it. And you could send a check or money order to Frank and made out to WWCR, not to us, but to WWCR. And because otherwise we're going to be gone from shortwave. Now, if we leave shortwave, it doesn't mean that we're going to stop broadcasting. We're just going to be on the internet. So if you like hearing this on shortwave, then this is what you could do. Make out a check or money order to WWCR. Send that to Frank and John, Box. I haven't asked for it in so long. Box 117. Because we don't like to do it, but this is at this point.
That's why it got bad.
Yeah, and we're going to set a date that we're going to, you know, unfortunately, we don't want to, but it's just the way things work out. So Frank and John, Box 117, 9508, 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. That's Frank and John, Box 117, 9508 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. You make that out to WWCR, the most you can, because, you know, otherwise we're going to, because, you know, it takes money to do this, and after a while it's very, you know, becomes a little more difficult. And so, you know, we don't like to do this. We don't do this every week. You know, weeks go by. But this is like an emergency. So it's Frank and John, Box 117-9508, 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. If you want to remain anonymous, you do it with a money order. But it must be made out to WWCR, not to us. So it's Frank and John, Box 117-9508, 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. To keep the right perspective going, we want to especially need the right perspective on, because regular talk radio is going to be decimated once, if this bastard gets in. You're going to need all the truth you can get, and truth is going
to... We're sending the National Guard to WABC to shut them down.
Yeah, truth is something you're going to need, because they're coming to a very, very, very dark chapter in this country's history. Very dark chapter. They know it. And Philip Berg, we didn't want to go into it because we didn't want the interview to be that long and get into an argument with him. But believe me, when I say they try this on him, if he's elected and it comes out, he knows that they will have riots. That's the riots. That is Obama's ace in the hole. He wants this national service. He wants to draft kids into a national service as big as the army.
Yeah, they're going to put shorts and brown shirts on them, too?
Yes, that is exactly what he is planning. That is exactly what he is planning. And he knows that if he has 92% voting for him, don't you think he knows he's got 92% that'll go to the street and create mayhem? Mayhem. Look at all the threats that are coming from the Democrats. Oh, for they see he's ahead by 5 points and he loses, there'll be riots. That's what you're hearing. That's what they're saying. And that is this guy's ace in the hole.
It's nothing new. Democrats do that all the time. Remember Charles Rangel?
Yeah.
Said that if David Dinkins doesn't win a second term, there could be,
right,
it could be a hot summer.
Right, but a guy like this, if he's a president, they're not going to stand to see him legally impeached. He knows that. He's going to use the fear of that. We're headed for very dark times. You read about Stalin's purges. It's incredible. People were picked up off the streets. A guy went out to buy a pack of cigarettes. He never came back because the KGB needed they needed to meet their quota.
Yeah, and it's getting worse and worse, Frank.
But if they do this to a guy like Joe the Plumber, look at the way they went after. Look at the way they eviscerate this man, an American citizen. He's doing what the goddamn cowardly bastards in the media wouldn't do. Really ask him a question, really challenge him. Oh, you can't do that.
What about that 19-year-old kid that had a John McCain sign on his lawn, and the Obama supporters threw dog dung on it?
Yeah.
And that's what you get. Look at those T-shirts that they came out with the filthy language on it, vilifying Sarah Palin.
Right. Look at the way
And you don't notice the left always resorts to filth.
Sure.
Foul language. Yeah. Everything is dirty. Well, that's what you get. Look at Hollywood.
Well,
put the filthy language in our movies that you can't even take your kid to anymore?
Well, look who's for him. But the point is that this is an average citizen, and this will be for anybody. You know, Philip Berg, I'm not a... You don't have to give your bona fides and say, it doesn't matter. That shouldn't even have to ever be brought up. Why? Because he's black, and that's the point. That is what they will do for the next 4 years. Yeah. What's the real reason? I think we know the real reason you're criticizing President
right.
Obama.
That's already going on.
Okay. So think about scum like Murtha, a real scumbag lowlife, called our troops in Haditha Nazis. My apologies to the Nazis. And him saying that?
Yeah.
Him, and then saying to people in Western Pennsylvania.
I hope that state turns around now against Obama for that statement.
Okay, I hope they turn around against him. Kick his
fat behind
out.
And then throw
out.
Him out, too, yeah.
That's right.
And by the way, you know, Frank was talking about sacrifice a little earlier. Well, it's already started, folks. This is, you can tell what's coming. But talk about...
Make a sacrifice and help the right perspective.
Well, Tom Brokaw was out there talking about how not only are we going to have to eat less, we're going to be told how much we can eat, what kind of food we can eat, what we can wear, what kind of car we can buy.
If we're lucky. Yeah.
But now he's saying you're not going to be able to buy the size house you live in. Listen to this.
There are lasting effects here. There's a kind of systemic quality in many ways, and people are going to have to reorder their priorities. Doesn't mean we're going to have to wear sackcloth, you know, and go around and just eat gruel every day. But there has to be a reordering of our financial system and our attitude about debt, about credit card debt, and how big a home do you need, and how much leverage are you going to prepare to play with?
Yeah, how big a home you need, see? Well, hey, if I want to buy a home that's 10 times bigger than what I need, that's my right. It's my money if I have the money.
Yeah.
Don't tell me what size house I can live in.
Tell that to your scumbag friends out in Hollywood, huh?
Yeah.
Huh? That own mansions, multi-mansions. Tell all your friends out in Hollywood.
Sacrifice.
Yeah, spread the money out in Hollywood. We'll spread the money, spread the wealth to the right perspective, or you won't hear us on shortwave. Send that to Frank and John, Box 117-9508, 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. Because this is a hard decision that we made, but... Unfortunately, it's a realistic decision that we made, and your help will, because we got to get a lot of money. Got to get at least $1,000. If we can't get that, we're going to say goodbye. And, you know, but we'll still broadcast. We certainly don't want to leave our friends that we've made over the years on shortwave.
Mm-hmm.
So you make it out to WWCR, and you send that to Frank and John, Box 117-9508 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. And we'll be continuing after we go off WWCR. We'll be on, of course, TalkStreamLive.com, where you can click on and hear us on the internet. And give us a call if you'd like at 718-761-9996. 718-761-9996. Because just because you can't get him because we have a guest during the shortwave portion, you can get in on the internet portion, and, you know, we go to at least 12:30, 1 o'clock. So give us a call if you whatever you'd like to talk about. Steve in Chicago, if he'd like to call in, call us back. Steve in Manhattan, call us back.
Yeah.
Call in tonight.
And, you know, Frank, talking about this, what you know what the left does? See, whenever anybody starts to make a good point and really start to hurt the Democrats politically, like Sarah Palin, what do they do now? And this is what's going to happen with the internet, folks. You can count on it. They will try and silence the internet. Now they're claiming that the crowds at Sarah Palin's gatherings and speeches, they're starting to get rowdy and nasty and claiming that, kill Obama. And, of course, they lied about that.
That's right. It was tell Obama.
Yeah.
You have a quote?
So...
We're going off. Wake up.
We'll end this portion of the show with a quote from the great Andrew Carnegie, who said, and I love this quote, and because it's so true, all honor's wounds are self-inflicted.
Thank you!
Perspective.
Hey, I see a lot of werewolves when I'm on the subway, believe me. Well, before we get to our calls and all lines are lit, you know, I was reading the Stamp newspaper this week, and I can't believe this. I cannot believe this. Well, they had set they had issued a Woody Guthrie stamp a few years ago, and the stamp was part of an American Folk Singers. Well, it talks about Woody Guthrie, you know, and you remember his son Arlo made that movie, Alice's Restaurant. It's all about Woody Guthrie. Then they made a movie about him, Bound for Glory, with David Carradine, after he got kicked out of the Kung Fu Monastery. Now, Guthrie, and I read a very good critique of him in the late, lamented, great New York Sun newspaper. And in it, it talked about Guthrie, and it didn't sugarcoat him the way the movie did. Well, here's something that I never knew. And they go over in the article as a background to the stamp, you know, about Woody Guthrie. So it says, Guthrie played and sang traditional folk songs and ballads, as well as writing more than 1,000 songs in his lifetime. And you could look it up, look up the New York Sun and Woody Guthrie, and you'll read about it. It's an excellent, excellent critique of this man. Okay? But this is from a Stamp newspaper. In California, Guthrie had a popular hillbilly music program on KFVD Los Angeles, which you see in the movie. There he met newscaster Ed Robin, who introduced him to leftist politics. Guthrie said, "The best thing that I did in 1936 was to sign up with the Communist Party." Now, I have to understand something. Guthrie, who wrote "This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land," was as a rebuttal to Irving Berlin's "God Bless America," and the most pointed political verses are usually omitted. So you never actually hear the communist bent of Woody Guthrie's song. Woody Guthrie was a communist, okay, croaked, and he became a good red. But this is what got me in the article. He apparently never formally joined the party, but, quote, now get this, folks, he embraced its ideals and mission to reform the country's political, economic, and social systems to ensure more equality and better conditions for the working class, according to the Library of Congress. This is a quote about him from the Library of Congress, United States of America. The ideals and mission to reform the country's political, economic, and social systems to ensure more equality and better conditions for the working class. That's what this is what the government thinks of the Communist Party? Whoever, I'd like to know who wrote that from the Library of Congress, and they ought to be committed, but first be thrown in jail for treason. The Communist Party, that wasn't their mission. Their mission, according to the late good red Gus Hall, was they were going to set up a Soviet-style state. They were lackeys of the Soviet Bolshevik enterprise. And what about the book, The Forsaken, An American Tragedy in Stalin's Russia? Those naive, pathetic fools in the 1930s believed the crap of this traitor, Woody Guthrie, and they went over to Moscow and they died in Stalin's gulag. How dare they put that in the Library of Congress? How dare they? Social and economic. This country? They didn't reform for 75 years until the Bolshevik enterprise collapsed of its own maggot-riddering corruption and the courage of Ronald Reagan, the Holy Father John Paul, and Margaret Thatcher. What the hell are they talking about? And, of course, great men like General Augusto Pino, who stood up to them in southern Great Solutria. What are they talking about? But you see how people can be manipulated by that? And then our own government writes that crap?
We got a lot of fools that are going to vote for and are enamored with another communist. And by the way, Frank, there's been a number of talk show hosts, I heard two today,
yeah,
are now actually referring to Obama as an out-and-out communist.
See? Thank you.
They came right out and said it. By the way, we said it first here on this
show.
Oh,
yeah. This
I said this months ago. This guy's an out-and-out. I'm sure you heard me.
Yeah.
This guy, he's not a Marxist. He's not a... To me, Marxism, socialism, communism, they're all the same.
Well, there's a difference between Marxism and Marxist-Leninism. In fact, I brought the book, excellent book I'm reading, Rising 44, about the Polish Home Army. And they explain what Marxism and Marxist-Leninism is, but that's what this guy is. This guy's a commie. What they listened to the podcast. Well, you know what? They were scared. They listened to the podcast at the right perspective, and they finally, and you know, then eventually they catch up. He's going to spread the wealth.
Yeah.
Spread.
He's going to spread your wealth.
Yeah.
What he calls wealth.
Yeah. Show me where it says that in the Constitution. Now, let's go to George in Alabama, longtime listener. Welcome to the Right Perspective, George.
Hi, George.
Well, I haven't been able to listen to you for a while now, but I'd like to ask you something about Pinochet.
Okay.
Now, Pinochet
was a great man.
Held off from taking over from Allende, and there was a reason that Pinochet went after Allende. And I've heard something recently about that Allende was going to assassinate Pinochet and other high-ranking army officers. Is that correct?
I never heard that. I know that Allende was a ideological lackey and political running Marxist dog of Fidel Castro. He destroyed and ruined the economy. He was clamping down upon the individual freedoms of the Chilean people. And our beloved hero, General Augusto Pinochet, returned Chile to the Chilean people. Now think, George, here he was in power only 17 years, and he peacefully and voluntarily acceded his position whilst the Castro crime family is in power over 50 years in Cuba. But who do they attack? They attack the memory of General Augusto Pinochet!
Right. Okay, well, let me ask you this. I mean, communist ideology that when they take over the established order, that they wipe out the politicians and the military. And so this is what I heard that they were going to do to Pinochet. Just makes sense to me. Another thing I'd like to ask you about, have you ever heard that Stalin assassinated Lenin?
I heard that he poisoned him. That's
exactly what I heard.
Yeah, that was a rumor because I think it was Lenin's widow had made allusions to the fact that she believed that Stalin had poisoned Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, and that he had. But then again, they said that Beria had poisoned Stalin, so the poisoner got poisoned in the end.
Yeah, well, one thing about it, they were talking about that Stalin was fixing to have a program against the Jewish people, and that anyway, the Lord intervened. This is what they teach in the a lot of the Christian churches. I understood that Stalin's doctors were Jewish doctors, and they were the ones that took him out. Have you picked up on that?
No. What happened is, see, you're getting a little confused. That was called the doctor's plot. Stalin, you have to understand, was insane. So therefore, the left in this country, scumbags like Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, people like that, Paul Robeson, who never denounced Stalin. So therefore, if he was insane, so were they. Stalin became so insane that according to his daughter, Svetlana, He said, I don't trust anyone, not even myself. So he had the periodic purges. So what he did is he had these 12 doctors, and they brought him to trial, held them, and they were going to have a show trial and claim that they were going to try to kill Stalin. Now, people said that this was going to be a pretext for Stalin to murder the Jews in Russia by having them deported to the Far East on the pretext that because of this, they were doing it for their protection because there was going to be a pogrom from the people who were going to be so angry over their supposed plot to murder Stalin. But, okay, now that's accepted by a lot of people, but there's a big but in here now, and that but is this. If you read Special Tasks by Pavel Sudoputov, who was a former KGB general, he said he never heard of this and he never knew of this and he didn't believe it was true. According to the story, Stalin was going to ship them to Siberia and gas them with the stocks of Zyklon B that they captured from the concentration camps in Eastern Europe. So either way, Stalin was croaked for whatever reason you want to believe. Now, the official version is he had a stroke, and they were afraid to go into his office because they didn't want to disturb him because the light was on all night, and they didn't want to, you know, do anything to get him angry, and that would be it for them. But Beria supposedly told Khrushchev and Molotov when they had the May Day parade, he was standing next to them. Beria, who himself was later exterminated, Beria said, I saved all of you. Now, Beria's wife was Jewish, so it could have been possible that he could have poisoned him because of that, but it's not probable because Molotov's wife was Jewish and Stalin had her deported to the East, and Molotov remained loyal to the end of his days.
I understand that Beria was Jewish, too.
No, Beria was not Jewish. His wife was.
Okay, well, that's debatable, but you're probably right.
I am right, because if you...
Okay, yeah. Well, thank you a lot.
And it's good to hear from you. I haven't heard from you in ages. Hope to hear from you again, George.
Okay. Yeah.
Take it easy,
bye-bye.
Buddy. Bye-bye.
And wasn't it also, Frank... They knew that Stalin had a stroke, but they let him die. They delayed getting the doctor to him because they wanted to get rid of him.
because they were afraid. They were afraid to go into his, into the room over there. So they, good. He was insane. The more you read about it, the more you see. They always talk about the Nazis had the Waffen SS would go in and kill the civilians. Well, they had the same thing, only. It wasn't racial. The Bolsheviks had SMERSH. Now, when did you first hear about SMERSH? I first heard about SMERSH when I read James Bond from Russia with Love. It's mentioned in the film, which was the best version of any James Bond movie. And they couldn't say that SMERSH was behind. In the book, Ian Fleming wrote that SMERSH was behind the plot. But at that time, they didn't want to upset the Russians, so... Albert Broccoli, when they produced it, they said that it was Spectre who was behind it. And some think it was Spectre actually meant the Illuminati. But what they had was three lines of troops. You had the front line, you had the second line, you had the blockers who would kill anybody who was going to retreat, and then you had the SMERSH troops. SMERSH meant death to spies. That was the acronym from it. So as the Waffen SS would come in and kill people based on so-called racial purity, they would come in and murder people clean out. I mean, they cleaned out whole villages based on political belief. So it's just incredible. and the author even says that as much as the German army, they had the SS to make sure that who fought alongside the Wehrmacht, that there was no mutiny. The system under Stalin was so complete that a general, a marshal of the Soviet army, he could not sleep alone. He slept on the top bunk and the political officer on the bottom bunk because he was watched 24/7. And a political officer could be of a lower rank than a marshal, but have more power than a marshal. You read about this guy, It's just an insane asylum that
society of paranoia.
Well, he was so did Joe in California.
Yeah, Joe in California.
No, let's go to Joe in California. Don't get to Paul in Texas.
And
the great
Steve.
And the great Steve of Manhattan. Welcome to the Right Perspective.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I just had to call you. You know,
first time caller.
Yeah, I'm a first time caller, long time listener. I catch the show whenever I can.
Okay, thank first you. Time, long time.
And you guys make just too much sense.
I thank you.
Okay, out of New York, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Although I love New York. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love New York.
Well, that's the same we say about you.
Yeah, well, you know, we're here behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
No kid, you're behind. Hey, I hear you, brother, okay? Honestly, I'm on the loony left coast. Let me tell you, I'm in the home of Hollywood.
Yeah, you have our sympathies.
But like I said, I love New York. I've been there several times, and we'll be back again soon.
Oh, great.
But I got to tell you about this Obama thing. I'm just having conniptions. I'm having fits here, and I've never been so concerned for the welfare of the nation.
Yeah, it is scary.
It is.
Never in my life, even during the Carter years, I knew Carter was a patriot.
Is he? I don't think so.
He didn't make good decisions.
He's even worse since he left office. Now,
well, yeah, he is. I figure that's to his old age. Something is setting in there.
Yeah,
okay?
His latest insanity was going overseas and having the nerve to criticize George Bush's economic policies.
Well, yeah, I'm going to take myself back away from that comment because let's take it out of context. You guys.
Obama is going to be Jimmy Carter on steroids. Obama is someone who hates this country. It's there in his book. It was there when I first read about an article by him back in February in the op-ed pages of the New York Times. He hates this country. He hates white people.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. He can smile. He has what they call in psychology a flat effect. You notice, Joe, how well-controlled he is?
Yep.
That's because he's seething with rage inside. And it's not. It peeks through every once in a while when he said that about the people in Pennsylvania with the guns. His real MO comes through when he talked about spreading the wealth. You know, what McCain should have said to him very succinctly is, are you a moron? I mean, haven't you learned anything?
How about white man's greed keeps a world in need?
Yeah. I mean,
I bet you didn't say that when George Bush sent $48 billion to his beloved Africa.
Yeah.
Right. Can you spell hypocrite with all caps?
Right. You know. So, you know, it's all there. And what really scares me, Joe, is the stupidity of the American people that they could blindly follow this guy, that they don't have any type of critical thinking whatsoever. There's no empiricism. They just hear a phrase change and immediately, you know, that's it.
Well, I'll tell you, that is really something that has struck near and dear to my heart. And I had to call and tell you guys because I've got to take some credit for this a little bit. But there was a Farrakhan Obama Messiah vid that went into the media last week. I don't know if you saw it or not.
No,
really?
Oh, really? What's the site?
Well, you go to YouTube and look for Farrakhan Obama Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he said that. Yeah,
he calls him the Messiah, yeah.
Yeah, it's creepy as all get out.
Yeah, well.
Okay, well, that was an old gift. Right, that was back in February before he was the nominee.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who got it into the media again.
One nut talking about another.
You got it into the media?
That is correct.
Wow. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you. I got a crow about it a little bit.
I don't blame you.
But I did that. Little old me, my grubby paws, are the ones who got it all over the world within 48 hours.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
Well, now, you know, this podcast will be up on our website, so you'll finally get the credit you duly deserve.
Hey, you deserve
Obama
a little clapping here. And that's for you.
Yeah, the Obama Nazis are going to be looking for
that. Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that frightening what they're doing to this guy, Joe DePlumba? I mean, look at or Obama's trying to persecute people, saying if they don't print things about him that are true. Truth is is relative. Yeah. It's a relative thing.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you about that's what we did last week. I have some buddies of mine and I, and we put together an organization, and we're doing something about it. And something I'd like you guys to do is check out a site with a movement on it. It's called freedommarch.org.
Okay.
And that is our group, who put up the Farrakhan Messiah vid, got that into the media. Now we have something else planned for Barack Obama.
Okay.
Good.
Oh, yeah. We're not taking this line down.
Well, watch your back.
Yeah.
I've dealt with thugs before, but this is for the nation, man.
Well, this is a nation that's going to be in a lot of trouble.
It is in a lot of trouble, and so good folk, regular folk, you guys, me,
thanks.
You know, the people that are with me, we got to stand up and do something about it.
You know, the whole thing is that I once saw a post-war movie about what was going on in Eastern Europe, and one of the characters said, you know, in America you take liberty for granted. Here it's a luxury. It's going to become a luxury in this country. And people couldn't talk, mention his ears. They're afraid to mention his middle name. What kind of country has this become?
Right.
I mean, really think of it. What kind of a country has this become when people can't mention this guy's middle name? I mean,
mention his associates.
Yeah, don't mention his associates.
Don't mention his wife.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't talk about his church.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And all of this, they all do it under the guise of accusing you of being a racist.
And hate speech.
And hate speech. And that's what's so dangerous, because he's going to have them pass hate speech laws. I mean, what's going to come down the pike in this country is something that people have never seen before or couldn't believe. And there'll be people in this country that are just not going to stand for this. Eventually, there's going to be a backlash, the likes of which they... Because when this country isn't about that. After 8 years of calling George Bush every name imaginable, you know, I don't know if you get Don Imus out there where you are in California. Do you get him on the radio?
Sure.
All right. Now, this old drunk and drug addict has been cowed to the point of where he's so afraid of making a remark and being called a racist, but yet nothing happened to him when he called Dick Cheney a war criminal. I mean,
right. Think
of that. He's calling the vice president a war criminal, and people are scared that they're going to be called racist for criticizing Obama. I mean, think of what's going on when during the next 4 years, people say, I'm not a racist, but... Or I know that that's not the real reason you're criticizing President Obama. Is he going to say his middle name if they swear him in? I mean, think of what's coming down the pike.
I have been thinking about it, guys. Yeah. I have been. I think about it a great deal, and it scares the living bejeebers out of me. And let me make one point for you. His name is Barack Hussein Obama, and I've never heard this on the media, but there are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world. Now, not all of them are bad people, of course not.
No.
But let's say, for example, if even 1% are extremists, who are either terrorists or support them, those people are going to interpret the election of Barack Obama either as weakness on the part of the United States, or it is going to incite them all the more, considering that they have a sympathizer. Now, if you do the math on that, 1.2 billion, 1% is 12 million of them. It only took a handful to cause 9/11.
That's right.
You know, so, and I've never come across anyone who could argue with me based on that logic.
Well,
many of them do not think in the same way that we do. The rationalizations are entirely different.
You know, you're out in California, and you're not far from Hollywood, so you're literally living in the maggot-writhing corruption that's out there. I mean, those are the sickest... I mean, they're all ready to get behind him, so he'll spread. They don't think that it's their wealth that he's going to spread, because they all have tax shelters and offshore accounts. People like that. Hollywood hates the white working class. They hate what they call blue-collar America, middle America, or anyone who does not share the sick, perverted view. You had Roman Polanski, a degenerate child molester, and yet what do they do? They make a documentary on HBO trying to say that, well, he really was in there, so that they honor communists. Hollywood is so sick, and the reason why is it's always on the left. They're for it because they always think they're going to be the ones in charge.
Well,
look at this Oliver Stone movie about W making fun of him.
sir. Oh,
they could. They wouldn't dare make one about Bill Clinton, the most corrupt individual, anti-American traitor in the history of the country. Well, it's between him and Jimmy Carter now.
Well, I'll tell you, both those guys look like prom queens in comparison to Barack Obama.
Right, that's right.
Yeah. They do, and, you know, hey, don't make me guilty by association just because I live out here, you know?
Yeah, well.
Hey, that's a great new excuse for anything.
Right.
I can hang out with anybody. Hey, guilt by association.
So what are your plans that you have now? What's the site again, Freedom March?
The site is freedommarch.org.
Is that with one M or two?
It's with two M's.
Oh, okay. So we'll go to it.
Yeah, freedommarch.org. It's all one word, no spaces.
Okay, and million page. Wow, this is tremendous. Can I read it to the audience?
Oh, absolutely, please, because I need help here.
Yeah, it's freedommarch.org. It's red, white, and blue, and Million Patriots to March November 1st. Nationwide Freedom March, Saturday, November 1st. Million Patriot March, calling all American patriots to action. Take out our great nation, take back our great nation. He's going to take it out. Show your support by marching in major cities across this great nation, state capitals in Washington, D.C., Saturday, November 1st, 2008, and speak in one voice. Freedom, small group of American patriots of all races, religions, and backgrounds responsible for this video being seen by a million worldwide within 48 hours. Louis Farrakhan calls Barack Obama the Messiah. Our tiny band changed millions of votes. If a handful of patriots can achieve such an impact, millions of patriots can accomplish anything. March in major cities all across the USA on the 1st November, November 1st, 2008. Listen, call us back before the march and let people know, remind people, because this is a great idea. There's nothing more than tyrants fear. Nothing
Let's
more.
Give them a taste of their own medicine, because that's all they do is march and chant.
That's
and
right.
And hold the placards up. And
the tyrants of the left fear nothing more than Americans standing up for their freedom.
Yep. That is absolutely correct.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe. We hope to hear
right,
from
Joe.
You again.
All right. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye. God bless. Good night. And sure. Let's go to Paul in Texas.
Steve will be with you shortly.
Thanks for waiting, Paul.
Hello. How are you, Joe?
Hey, Paul.
Hi. Fine. Thank you.
Well, again, you've got so many good callers calling in. It's
I'll join the crew.
Join the crew. Well, with reference to Jimmy Carter and his Habitat for Hamas, I think that's his real slogan there.
Hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, that was great when John McCain called him Senator Government.
Senator Government. Yeah.
Yeah.
that was what's his name?
That's a Freudian slip.
Yeah.
Freudian. I don't think it was so Freudian. I think it was. But the point, and then John, you, or Frank, I'm sorry, you stole my thunder when you referred to Pete Seeger, because I went to a 4th of July celebration, and they sang Star Spangled Banner and this and that, and then they sang This Land Is Your Land.
Oh,
right,
please.
Yeah.
A great Woody Guthrie song.
Yeah.
Right.
And after it was over, I pulled the guy that was conducting it aside and said, do you know who wrote this song? Do you know who Woody Guthrie is?
Yeah.
And Pete Seeger? You're familiar with these names?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. He was about, I don't know, 23 years old.
Yeah, Pete Seeger sang at Woodstock, too.
Yeah, and Pete Seeger got the Freedom of Metal from Bill Clinton.
Right.
Of course.
Oh, well, birds of a feather.
Yep.
Right?
But the fact is, you know, your freedoms can be limited in one generation.
Of course.
It's just that quick, especially when you have people that just don't have not learned the lessons of history.
Yeah,
and you know the newscaster on, you know, while I was on hold, I didn't just waste my time. I was out, you know, planning something so I could have some gruel to eat, and told my wife to get up and weave me something out of sackcloth. Just so it happened again.
Hold it right there, Paul. We're going to go to a short break. And we'll be right back with Paul in Texas, Steve in Manhattan, and you have an open line, 718-761-9996. 718-761-9996. We cover the entire country. Texas, California, Chicago, the East Coast, the South, the Right Perspective is marching forward, ever marching.
What interests me about John of Staten Island, he has a following. People say, hey, well, I want to hear more from John of Staten Island.
That's right.
Art Deprivation Hotline.
It's my little boy. He's just staring at the wall like a zombie.
Okay, ma'am, show him something colorful.
What?
Anything.
Okay, Bobby, honey, look at the picture. See the pretty blue
Good.
Sky. Oh, what's happening?
Ma'am, he doesn't seem to have an imagination.
The less art kids get, the more it shows. Please visit us at AmericansForTheArts.org. Art. Ask for more.
They don't want us to leave. That's why they shut everything off.
What makes you say that? Where'd you get that idea?
Isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard? It's always that way in every story I've ever read about a ship landing from outer space.
It wasn't a ship. It was a meteor or something.
Mr. Brand, please don't leave here. You might not even be able to get to town. It was that way in the story. Nobody could leave. Nobody except...
Except who?
Except the people they'd sent down ahead of them. They looked just like humans, and it wasn't until the ship landed that...
Craziest thing you ever heard of? The kid tells the comic book plot, and we stand here listening. Go ahead, Tommy. What kind of a story was it? What about the people they sent ahead?
That was the way they prepared things for the landing. They sent four people, a mother and a father and two kids who looked just like... But they weren't.
Go on, leave me breathless.
All right, we're back at 1-718-761-9996. We've got a line open. For anything that's on your mind right now, we're talking to Paul of Texas, and we're going to get right back to Paul of Texas. Thanks for waiting, Paul.
You here, gentlemen?
Go ahead.
But it's, you know, this line from somebody in the media about ruling sackcloth.
Yeah.
That's so pathetic, it's not even
Yeah, Tom talking. Brokaw.
Yeah.
Yes, Tom Brokaw. Yes. Well, that's enough of that.
But, I'll bet you he won't be sacrificing anything.
Well, not.
Well, you know, you listen to these people that are on the radio here, not you, but I'm saying these pundits like Tom Brokaw, and they just, they're all multimillionaires.
Yep.
Every single one of them, without exception. And they're... You know, the Dow was up, the Dow was down, the Dow was up, the Dow was down. Okay, so you got $3 million today, tomorrow you got $1 million. The next day you got $3 million again. You're just getting whipsawed constantly.
Keep them guessing.
I listen to the local news. You know, I think Tuesday was the biggest increase in the Dow in history. Wednesday it was the biggest decrease.
Right. I know.
Thursday it's the biggest increase.
Yeah, well, it's going to be that way until probably after the election, and I think a lot of it has to do with not wanting a guy like Obama, a out-and-out communist, as far as I'm concerned, elected. So,
well, all you have to do is look at his history. Yep. I don't dislike the man because he's black.
No.
But he has done nothing.
Andy Samberg did a sketch, and people can see it. I hope you don't mind me showing it, but here, yeah, let's take a look.
Talk to a chicken.
I have choices to make in what I do with my family, with their education, with what I'm planning on doing. I just can't raise my hand and say present. The only luxury you get by doing that, apparently, is if you're in elected office. Then you can just say, I'm here. And you retire on pension for life. I think senatorial pension, once you're elected, you get a pension for life.
Yeah. Well, you know, we couldn't have a worse time to have a guy like this in office. You talk about the perfect storm? Oh, man. With what happened, because of what Democrats caused, by the way, and I always make sure that I say that, the proof is out there that this whole economic and financial meltdown happened because of Democrat policies and pandering and political correctness, and yet you don't see anybody pointing the fingers to that party and poor George Bush and John McCain are taking it on the chin about this. And they're two of the people who tried to stop it. So the American people are so they have tunnel vision.
That's right.
I think they have carpal tunnel vision. it makes no sense to me. What's going on with
you're cool
with this? You're cool, yeah.
You're seeing a coup d'etat in America, and the irony, Paul. The irony is that it always is pushed by the media. Well, that's how they do it, by saying. You watch a movie like JFK by that jerk Oliver Stone. What do they have? This was a coup d'etat. Always the big corporations did it.
Didn't he just come out with W?
Yeah.
Soon to be released?
Mm-hmm.
At a theater near you.
Yeah, came out today.
Yep.
So they always push that the right is making the coup. And that's how they covered it up. This is a coup d'etat. This is no doubt. You know, I was talking to our producer before the show. He calls me, and, you know, we go over some of the stuff. And Bill Ayers worked at a bread store on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Now, before he was caught, it just so happens that the store was not that far from Columbia University, or at least it was on in the same geographic area, which is the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Now, who was going to Columbia at that time? Barack Hussein, Muhammad Obama. How come Barack Hussein, Muhammad Obama never mentions what he did at Columbia? It's my belief that this man was groomed, and I mean groomed, for this. Because they put him there in Columbia to make his connections with the extreme fanatical left-wing underground. He just didn't, by coincidence, run into Bill Ayers. He knew him for years.
I think you're completely incorrect. His college records are in the same place as his birth certificate. You're being too prejudicial.
You know, there's an old saying, don't look at what a man says, look at what he does. And you don't think Obama's going to come out and tell you what he's really all about when he's trying to run for president, do you? But look at the history of this guy, his associations. And don't tell me. You know, yet they throw this phrase around to try and make you feel guilty. Oh, it's a guilt by association. You're damn right. You're not going to hang around with people you disagree with. You're going to hang around with people who agree with you when you have whatever it is you do with them. People of like mind. So you're damn right I hold people accountable for whom they hang around with. The old saying, show me your friends and I'll tell you what you are, that meant something. And Barack Hussein Obama is not going to tell you what he's really all about. So just look at his history and what he's done, what he's said, what he's tried to accomplish. And it's all left-wing oriented.
Well, you look at
radically oriental, radical agenda oriented.
You look at the thing. Well, I was only 8 years old when he did all those things.
Yeah.
Okay. You were 8 years old when he did those things. When you were 30 years old and you knew about those things, when you were 40 years old.
Yeah, and you're still associated with him?
I have the, I'm unburdened by the fact that I am associated with anybody that's done anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I thought they had done something, even if they managed to get away with it, I probably wouldn't want them hanging around.
Sure.
I just can't believe that he's going to stand there and say, you got to go back. I was only 8 years old when he was throwing things around. And
that's the standard answer. It's a escape hatch answer because he knows he's caught, so he has to have something to say. So he's hoping you won't notice that he grew up somewhat and became more politically aware. And instead of associating with patriots, he's associated with every left winger in Chicago that he ran into, including that Daily machine, political machine in Chicago. They're a bunch of lefties. And every black radical he knew he was friends with. And he taught other black radicals to become even more radical. This guy he didn't become a lawyer to get a job. He became a lawyer so that he could be in places where someone who is not a lawyer can't get into. and moving up the ladder and becoming more politically powerful, and finally now running for president so he can implement all the left-wing agendas that he learned about on growing up.
Paul, we'll give you the last word.
This is nothing new. It's preposterous that he could. I find it fundamentally stunning that people that are mature, right, people in their 50s and 60s, and look at this, and disregard history of this country and what has come before it, and just buy this. I just don't get it. I talked to my wife, and she had a meeting with a woman who had her family immigrated from Germany to escape socialism. And this woman is in her 90s, and she's still very sharp, and she said, our family left Germany to escape socialism. I never thought I would see it coming to the United States.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and
you know
I'm
what
too
it,
old to go anywhere.
You know what it is? A lot of people see when they get older, now they start to get scared, and all they think about is their comfort in their old age and their money, money, money. They don't give a damn about what's going to help the country as a whole, which they should, because it affects them too, but they can't think that far ahead. All they're thinking about is themselves and their own comfort. And if a guy comes along and says, vote for me, I'll give you everything for nothing at the taxpayer's expense, they don't care as long as they think they're going to get something out of it. And that's, there's no national pride anymore. Everybody is for themselves. It's you know, all for one.
It's a sense of immediacy.
Yeah, there's no sense. Why do you think people were able to survive so well in the Depression? Because people thought of themselves as Americans as a whole. And they helped each other out, and they felt for the country, not just for themselves.
Well, if you want to quote John Steinbeck, which I don't really want to do because there's a lot of things about him I disagree with.
Well, he said
a good point, and his point was, if you need help, ask a poor person.
And with that, Paul, that's a great quote. We're going to say good night.
Good night, sir.
Talk to you next week. Good to speak.
Right, if you could just put me on hold for a second so I can talk to you offline. Or
sure.
One of you.
Sure. Good. Yeah, good, John. We got him on hold.
Okay.
And, okay, let's go to Steve in Manhattan, who's been patiently waiting. Welcome to The Right Perspective, Steve, where you will always have a friend.
All right, Frank and John. And people should remember the issues or what is on your side. Not McCain and not Bush. It's the issues that are on your side. Just look at that Alfred E. Newman dinner last night where McPsycho is joking around with Bam Bam. Oh, Bam Bam. That's the true scene and true feelings of what these people are. That's what they are. Don't be fooled by debates. The issues are on your side, and they will always be on your side. John made a comment before. He thinks the market, I mean, I know part of the reason he's saying is going up and down because they don't want Bam Bam to be president. I think Limbaugh said that too. I don't agree with that. That's a false premise because a lot of these Wall Street clowns contributed to Bam Bam.
Right.
Who in their right mind would want to lose their money because of the guy being elected? You know, you could say, oh, because of tax purposes or something. No, people don't look to purposely lose their money by selling and stuff like that. That's just, you know, grasping at straws. And also, it's not mentioned because both candidates, both parties, obviously are in the tank for the illegal aliens. Over 5 million, mortgages went to the illegal aliens. Bush, I don't care, you know, people, I don't care what people say. You can blame all the Democrats. Bush signed the American Dream Down Payment Act in 2003 with the backing of a Republican Congress. That enabled minorities to get mortgages without a down payment, folks, and without closing costs. That was what I call the 110% mortgage. Bush is in on it. Both Bushes are in on it. The McCain is in on it. So is Obama. So is Kerry, Lurch Kerry. They're all in on it. The Bush administration and the Clinton administration with the Congresses were both funneling billions upon billions of dollars to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I hate using those terms. It sounds so generic when you say that. But those are government agencies where they always try to say we're private and agency baloney. They were getting federal our money. They were getting, and they were exploiting that, and they're both in on it. Just think of all the illegal aliens that Bush didn't want to deport who got mortgages. How could he possibly have no culpability and no guilt in this? Of course, they're in up to their necks in this. And the only reason why it's not being brought up, because the illegal alien issue is an issue that they both hold dear to their hearts,
right,
both political parties. And that's why it would be a losing issue if the media brought it up. There is no watchdog media.
Nah.
It isn't Joe the plumber who's going to win the election for you. What's going to come down to is conservative voters this country, who are still the majority of voters, the biggest voting bloc, is going to deliver McCycle the biggest prize of his life, the presidency of the United States of America, and their folks are going to owe you big time. Don't go around making excuses for McCycle when he becomes president. You tell him he owes you big time, this is what we want. That is the true American spirit. Not going around saying, oh, just imagine if it was a Republican, they would say this and that. We know that. That's all a given. They're going to go after Palin, whoever he picked for VP. If he picked George Washington VP, if he came back, he'd go after George Washington. We know that's a given. But what we're doing is wasting valuable time, energy, and resources, and very intelligent people trying to comment on what the slop, what they do. If you see someone throw up in the street, you can go in and try to figure out why the person threw up when you can see they're drunk. You know damn well why they're doing it and what's going on. That's what the same thing with this. They're throwing up all over you with all their slop and all their garbage, and they're making you respond to no, folks. They got to respond to you because you are the backbone of this country. You will deliver the presidency to this guy who really doesn't deserve it, but he's going to win on election night. He's going to win, and I'm going to tell you right now, the polls are getting closer and closer. The polls are going to tighten up. You get closer, they lag usually a little bit behind, and you're going to see it. Look at this freak, like John brought up and Frank brought up before. John Murtha, this guy is a freak. Ooh. He called his own constituents a bunch. I usually hate to say it, but he called them a bunch of racists. White race in Western Pennsylvania. This guy represents you. He's up for re-election this year. If there's anyone who deserves to lose, is a freak like that. And Pennsylvania is a big prize. Lurch Kerry won it in 2004. I'm going to tell the people, Lurch Kerry only won it by 2.5 percentage points. It's a very doable state for McCycle.
What do you want to bet, Steve, that John Murtha does not live in a black neighborhood?
Of course not.
Of course. We know that. That's a given. He lives in Washington, D.C., but he also lives in Western Pennsylvania. But his district is in Western Pennsylvania, and it's a very white area of the state. And just him making that remark should prove to everybody that this guy is a freak, a total freak for saying something like that. But Pennsylvania is up for grabs. I don't care what those polls say. There's a big undecided block. There's a lot of people lying. A lot of these polls are being weighed toward the Democrats. And also, I mean, if you really look at it, with undecided voters, to me, it shows you that people are just really mad, and they're going to start coming around in the last minute. Right. Pennsylvania's got 21 electoral votes. And I call it the 25 electoral vote tsunami. Pennsylvania and also New Hampshire. Lurch Kerry won New Hampshire, folks, by almost 1%. He won. That's another state that's doable for McCycle. That's 25 electoral votes. I call them the electoral vote tsunami, which if he can pull those into the Republican camp, not him, the conservative voters will pull that into his column. And I think I know it's going to be over for the Democratic presidential candidate, and he's going to lose. People losing to the polls. I mean, people lying to the polls. A lot of these polls nationally are being weighted toward the Democratic callers. If you notice, I think you have 15, 20 national polls, and they're all over the place, right? John, have you been following some of that? You've been following them.
Yeah.
2-3-4% Bam Bam is up, and then you got another poll.
Yeah, and they're bringing lawsuits, and let's hope they may have some time to make some headway. But, you know, in a lot of these polls, they're polling a lot more Democrat than Republicans. So you don't know how really accurate they are. And supposedly this election cycle, it's not like past election cycles where they were polling them basically evenly.
Right.
So, you know, there still could be a chance for McCain.
Like the other morning, I'm waking up, I hear the CBS FM poll, whatever it is, a national poll. Oh, Bam Bam's up by 14%. I just laughed when I heard that. Now, I know people hear that. I know it's a BS poll. Exactly what Don said. It was weighted toward the Democrats, and that's how you come up with a number like it. It's not really hard to do. And also, now we were in Western Pennsylvania. We're going to be all over Pennsylvania with this call.
And you know, Steve, they're forgetting probably the issue that's going to turn this election: white race pride. They're not going to put this guy in on that. I'm telling you. Right. They are not. This guy is a racist of color. He hates
white
people.
Someone should ask Bam Bam if Jeremiah Wright is a racist. What was he doing with a girlfriend, right?
Malcolm Little had a white girlfriend. Spike Lee had a white girlfriend. They all have white
girlfriends. Of course. And but that doesn't mean they're not racist, folks. Don't be fooled by that.
His wife is even worse than he is.
When they're like that, but if you notice, but also the key thing also, the white liberal freaks are not offended by black races. Always remember that.
No.
They feel that they deserve it. They rationalize it. You understand?
Right.
And that's why. And that's why I am for David Duke and any 90-year-old Nazi they could get a hold. Bring them in to put them in our universities. They could have William Ayers. They certainly can have them. And he blew it, John McCain, because he should have said, wait a minute, would you have sat on that board with a Klansman? Would you have said, Senator, the Klan killed Pete, just like William Ayers' organization, his terrorist group, killed. What is it, a class terrorist is acceptable to you? You think there's a difference between class terrorism and terrorism based on race, Senator? Would you have sat there with a Klansman, Senator? Yeah, so for this soldier, look, Steve, we are the last redoubt of free speech because they're all so frightened. The old guy who's on ABC, who should be in Florida on his boat, he's probably too cheap to buy one anyway, but counting his money down in Tampa or wherever he lived down there, no matter what they say, they're all afraid to say what it really is.
Right. Well, if you bring up William Ayers, so Bam Bam, you know what Bam Bam is going to say, I was 8 years old. Say, well, okay, but when you became an adult and you knew what he did,
right,
you befriended him, and that's
right,
the end of the story.
Right.
That's the end of the story. I mean, we know damn well you could take the microphone out into the street and you could walk up to people and say, do you know who William Ayers is? And they'll say, oh, well, what team does he play for? Oh, he hit the he got the big hit. He hit the bombs last night. He hit a couple of bombs last night, William Ayers. That's what you'll say. But when you get it out there like that and people hear that and make that connection, and you could also pile on, too, because, folks, it's the 9th anniversary of Slick Willie pardoning the FALN, and all the FALN was doing was lacing New York City with bombs in the early to mid-70s. The famous case of, like, three of the weathermen blew themselves up. I mean, it's a job well done. The FALN also blew themselves up, too. Willie Morales. Blew off his hands.
I remember that one.
I think the cop said to him, Willie, grab your hands. We're going to the hospital. But Willie couldn't grab his hands because his hands were blown off. They never reattached them. And then he escaped from prison.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy with no hands escaped from prison. He's better than
he escaped from prison or Clinton pardoned him?
No, he escaped. He escaped years ago, John.
And they never found him?
They never found him.
Wow. They probably went to Cuba or
something. He's in Cuba, probably.
Cuba or Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Well, right, but the guy with no hands is not exactly easy to disguise yourself.
Wow.
But the FALN was pardoned by that, and they put the FALN was a Puerto Rican terrorist group. They also put the bomb in Francis Tavern. And they blew up that, folks. Francis Tavern is
that's where George Washington
met with his
officers
and his men. They would eat there and drink, and they'd have meetings over there in Francis Tavern. That's how famous that place was. It's a landmark. That's why those freaks put the bomb there. And also, up in the Bronx, I believe it's Robin's Neck, is the rifle, is the shooting range. Also, the bomb squad would bring the bombs up there. One of the police officers was killed because of those freaks. When they brought the bomb back there, the bomb detonated, killing one of New York City police officers.
You know, Steve, it would be like, if I'm going to get involved in politics, you think you're going to catch me hanging around with Ron Kuby? Of course not. I'm going to be looking for a Bill Buckley type. So don't tell me Obama can excuse himself by saying he was only 8 years old. When you became politically aware, you should have been picking up with patriots if you really loved this country, not people who wanted to bring the country down with revolution.
Right.
Who's he kidding?
Well, he's not kidding anybody, but you know what the truth is? Once you put that out there, it does resonate with certain people. I mean, we live in New York, so it's really a non-presidential year for us because there's no campaign going on over here. We know that. But in some of those battleground states, that stuff is getting out there. It really is. It's not getting out the way you would like it to get out, but it is getting out there, and a lot of people are finding out who these people are. And let's face it, there's a lot of people in your age group, in my age group, who don't even know who William Ayers is, don't even know who the Weather Ground is, don't even know who the Black Panthers are, or the Symbionese Liberation Army, or any of these freak groups. They don't even know who it is, too. But they're finding out now who it is, and it's going to help. It does help by getting it out there and letting people know what freaks we have inside the country.
That's right.
Yeah.
Going around, right?
We have more dangerous terrorists within our borders,
right,
than we do outside of our borders.
Exactly, because inside your borders, they could always use the protective cover of a neighborhood, of a political group, of anything. They can mix in
and
obviously do their damage. We know that. Also, again, Obambam was down in the Commonwealth of Virginia today. What was he doing? The old trick again. He was scaring the senior citizens with Medicare. And I'm waiting for an 80-something-year-old guy wearing an Ewa baseball cap to tell those freak politicians who do that, why do you always talk about running out of Social Security money and cutting Medicare, always trying to scare the senior citizens, but you freak politicians never talk about running out of welfare checks? That is the line that's got to be delivered
by one
of those guys who are in their 80s with the Ewa cap.
That's right.
Or the, any one of those things.
Sure, and, of course, he brings up the stain of slavery. Oh, McPsycho could have jumped on him and said, wait a minute. Are you going to go to Africa and talk to your Muslim relatives about the fact that they were the ones who captured Africans and sold them into slavery? Why don't you ever talk about both sides of the Atlantic?
Exactly.
Senator.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tell them, go, if you want to talk about reparations, go to Africa and talk to the descendants of the African tribal leaders and the black Muslims in Africa who dealt with the slave trade, who were dealing the other blacks into slavery.
Of course.
Take it up with them.
That's right.
See how they feel about it. See how far you get into that conversation.
And when you talk about the stain of slavery, is that what you're going to do when you're president, constantly talk about that? Are you gonna hold all white people? I mean, there's no news. Here's a news flash: no white people alive had anything to do with it. And by the way, why didn't McPsycho jump on him and say, "Hold it"? You're always talking about apartheid in South Africa. How come you never talk about the apartheid 90 miles from our coast that goes on in Castro's hellhole? How come you don't talk about that apartheid, political and economic apartheid? And that is what the people of Cuba call that economic system. Why don't you talk about that, Senator? Come on. You know what it is? Look, they're all in the same boat, and they don't want to upset the apple cart because they're all making money off of it. They're talking about Joe the plumber's $1,200. Ooh, he owes $1,200. Big deal. Charlie Rangel, that thieving piece of crap. How much did he rip off from the government, huh?
What about the dinkster?
The dinkster, right. Where does a congressman get the money to buy villas in the Caribbean? He has can pay rent, even if it's rent control, on 4 apartments. He has a car that he parks and doesn't pay any tax on. Come on, there's too much gravy train.
Yeah, why didn't Joe Biden tell him to pay his fair share?
Yeah.
And, with this attempt by the Democrats to always frighten them that their Medicare is going to be taken away from it, and their Social Security. Somebody should remind the seniors that it was Al Gore who cast the deciding vote in 1993 when Clinton raised taxes on Social Security benefits.
Right.
And Part B Medicare insurance premiums for the seniors, they skyrocketed during the last 30 years, or the 30 years that the Democrats were in control. I got it right in front of me. 1966, the monthly premium for Part B Medicare, $3. By 1995, it was $46.10. And that's under Democrat rule, okay? The Republicans just won that became the majority in 1994. So all those years, it went up by $43 under Democrats with a majority in the Congress.
Right.
If anybody's going to take it away from them, it's Democrats who are going to try and just by their policies, they ruin everything. They bankrupt the country. Everything goes up when Democrats are running the show. Look at New Jersey. How many taxes has John Corzine raised since he's been governor? And this was a businessman. Do you know New Jersey, when people retired in New York and Connecticut, New Jersey used to be the sanctuary. People would go to New Jersey to retire. They're bypassing New Jersey now and going to Pennsylvania, North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, because there's no personal income tax and there's no tax on your pensions. So people are going to protect their investment any way they can, and that's why New Jersey's in constant financial trouble now.
Yeah, right. They move out of New York and they go to Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. They go, oh, they want the government to build this, do that, and then they wonder why their taxes go up over there too, right?
Yeah.
Look at all the freaks that ran out of Massachusetts into New Hampshire. Used to be a good conservative little tiny state up in the Northeast. Hey, turned into a refugee camp for those high-taxed Massachusetts residents who moved to New Hampshire. But instead of going there and trying to fit in, all they want to do is they want the government to do this and do that, and the taxes go up in a little state, in the little granite state of New Hampshire. Live free or die. That's their motto up there. Oh, what you're doing is you're living, but you're not living free because you're being invaded up there too in that little tiny state of New Hampshire.
See, John McCain, when he discusses taxes with Obama, like in the last debate, he should turn to him and look and say, you know, Senator, what did you think of Winston Churchill? And naturally, Obama's going to say, you know, he was a great leader, a great man, the right man at the right time. So, well, you know, Winston Churchill said, for a nation to try and tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to pull himself up by the handle. And that would have killed his whole idea of trying to tax wealth in this country and transfer it.
Right. Well, Bam Bam,
it would have decimated him.
Same thing Slick Willie did in 92. Slick Willie did the same thing, if you remember. I'm going to give a middle-class tax cut. I'm going to raise only a small percentage. And as soon as Slick Willie got in there, he goes, oh, we can't do a middle-class tax cut, and we got to raise taxes.
Yeah, that's always the excuse.
He's doing exactly the same.
Things were so bad left behind, such a mess from the previous administration, that we decided that we couldn't afford it at this time.
Right, and that's exactly what Obama's not going to say because he's not going to get elected. But basically, that's a standard Democratic presidential.
No, they'll come up with a phony formula, Steve, like Clinton did, to claim that you're now rich, so you also get taxed. Like Clinton did in 1993 when he came up with this idiotic formula that if you own a home and you sold it, you would make so much of a profit. And he actually added that to your income, even though you didn't sell your house. Just the fact that you had the potential, he added that as part of your salary. Now you're wealthy, and now you can go into the higher tax bracket, and now we're going to tax you more.
Yeah,
so that's why the Democrats always have targeted tax cuts. They always leave the door open to come up with one of those tricky formulas to say that, well, now you're wealthy too. If they didn't have anything sneaky planned to include millions of others in their tax increase, they would say, let's cut taxes across the board. That would be the end of the story. But they can't do that. They know they're lying, and they have to have a way, they have to have an out.
Right. Well, and plus there's so many different taxes you pay anyway. It's really the tax system is obscene in this country, and it's disgusting what it does. And to me, it's amazing that the American people tolerate the way they're taxed, but they just put up with it.
Yeah, well, Ireland has it right. Ireland has low taxes, and they have a booming economy. I think it grows by 8% a year or something.
Yeah, well,
like
I was reading in the Times, its boom is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's being affected by the world.
Ireland's being invaded, too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
because they have a good economy.
Right. And, well, you know, and the thing is, too, if you look at it, we always talk about, France or those other European countries, but they don't have the welfare system that we have. We have a tremendous welfare system that pumps out so much money, so much waste, that it's unbelievable that we're able to sustain ourselves. We have the greatest military, the biggest military that we pay for, which is worth it. But think of the garbage. They don't even come close to our welfare system, most of these countries. You look at, people talk about Canada. Canada has 25 million people in it. That's That's California, right? That's not even 10% of the United States.
Yeah, well,
and you can't. That's why people, you can't compare Canada's socialism or anything to the United States of America. Just the way we spend money in this country dwarfs these countries. It's unbelievable the way, not only inside our country, but the money that we ship out. Like John and Frank just brought up about the money that they sent to Africa and all that money. That's billions upon billions of dollars of not the government, but the U.S. taxpayers' money being wasted and really just going down.
Hey,
and you
Steve,
know what?
Every day, you know, you've heard me say, every day you open up a paper here in New York and you see some other institution by liberals ripped off. The latest one last week, I had a story in the Post. The New York City school system, I have a whole file on scandals from the New York City school system. The latest scandal is that laptops, hundreds of laptops are being stolen from the schools. And what are they? They don't do anything about it because it's a low, compared to other crimes when they report them, they go on the bottom of the list. So they never really solve it. So the principals just order new laptops and then they get stolen. So you're talking about hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, and this is just one item.
Let me just, but also, for the people around the country who are listening, when we talk about the New York City school system, there really is no school system. So let me tell you what it really is.
No, it's a holding pen.
What it is really is an expensive daycare center. There's no education going on. You hear these reading and math scores are up? Let me tell you something. You can believe me when I tell you.
Yeah, what a phone.
It's a lie. It's a fabrication. An absolute lie.
Sure, because they don't want to lose the federal money.
Those kids, right, exactly. They lose money if they didn't do so. They lie. Some of those kids, 11th grade, 10th, 12th grade, they can't even complete a sentence. Then they go into the university where they get passed right through too. When they get college diplomas and they can't even put 5-6 words together to make a sentence. And that's the whole truth. They don't want to come out and say it. And now what you have is the whole generation's come around. You have the affirmative action affirmative action teach now in the school system. They're actually a product of the daycare center, and they're in there now.
Yeah, they know less than the kids.
Right, and they're just as dumb as the kids sitting in the classroom. New York City, trust me when I tell this to you people, has no school system. It's a daycare center. There are maybe a few schools, maybe Stuyvesant or the Bronx High School of Science. Maybe there are some kids in there very bright, but don't be fooled when you hear that. Because basically 99% of it is a daycare center.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with the schools that a million new students wouldn't cure.
Right.
All right, Steve, we're going to move along.
And, sure. Steve, you will always be right. Welcome on The Right Perspective. This is not Steve Molsberg or any of those shows. You will always be welcome on this show.
Yeah. Right, the guys who keep you on hold for infinity, and they claim they take your calls. They don't take your calls.
Steve, you have a computer, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go to TalkStream Live. This is Friday, Monday. Go to TalkStream Live at 8 o'clock, and you'll see Barry Farber listed, and you can give him a call. Because he's on the internet now, so... If you want to call Father, Jimmy from Brooklyn was on last night. And Jimmy from Brooklyn, you know, Barry goes, you were banned from some shows. And so Jimmy goes, yeah. And Barry says, good, you can name. So Jimmy claimed that Bob Grant banned him.
Oh.
Yet I heard Jimmy call Bob Grant tonight.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Sometimes the screener banned, people don't realize because we call talk radio. Sometimes the screener bans you too and the host doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right, but and then they'll get a temporary or something that doesn't recognize the caller and they get through.
Right.
Okay.
There's also one other thing important to Pennsylvania. There's five counties. It's Auburn County, Columbia County, and Monroe County. Those are three counties. All of those three counties are Louis Barletta's congressional districts. So everyone in those counties, you've got to come out and vote. And partially in Lackawanna and Lucerne counties, that makes up the five, are his counties. You've got to come out and vote like there's no tomorrow. And bring your people out and get Lou Barletta actually is leading. He's one of the few Republican challengers who is actually beating a Democrat incumbent right now. But he has to have.
Is that for
people.
The Senate?
That's for the Congress. That's actually our representative seat. But the people in those five counties have to come out in big numbers and get Lou Barletta elected because he is a warrior against that invasion. He's the mayor of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. And nationally, everybody knows the story. I just read recently that Lou Barletta's His campaign went over $1 million, and a lot of that money came from around the country. So get a lot of people out there, congratulate yourselves. Give yourself a well-deserved. That's a lot of money for like a district in Pennsylvania like that. But he needs the people in those counties now to come out in big, giant numbers. And if you do that too, not only do you help Blue, you'll help defeat old Bam Bam in what we call it, the Quaker State or the Penn State.
Right? Yeah.
And that'll be big.
Keystone State.
And the folks listening to, and also in eastern Pennsylvania, I've been hearing there's certain parts of eastern Pennsylvania 4 years ago, if you drove through it, you saw no Bush field, what do you call it, yard signs. In certain parts of eastern northeastern Pennsylvania, the word is getting around now that at least half of them are McPsycho yard signs, which is a bad sign for old Bam Bam. Because in certain areas, you didn't see 4 years ago Bush signs, but you're seeing old Bam Bam signs, and that might be a good thing. But the most important thing for the people in every congressional district in America is to break open his saddlebags and deliver some loot over to the two great ones.
That's right. Yeah, thank you, Steve.
Now, thanks a lot for the promo, Steve.
Good night. Talk to you next week. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Let's go Stacy quickly.
And we'll be with you shortly, Cheryl.
Welcome to The Right Perspective.
Hey.
Where you been?
First off, came to my mind, go back to something earlier. Why is it, it seems every time you have a troublemaker, whether it's a conversion into jail or some so-called community activist, they all go for law degrees?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Everybody goes for law degrees, and it's like, and then they become professional avalanche chasers and that sort of thing. It seems, there's only two ways you can really get into politics for the most part. Business degrees in the case of the current president. The vast majority of the people who get into office are all shysters.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's the thing came across my mind. All these, and the guys in the jail, getting their law degrees and that sort of mess. So, the whole thing, bringing up, I've just been listening to that, just mentioning that blowtorch there again. a blowtorch.
Right.
And I'd mentioned this to John, and it was hilarious. Apparently, Curtis has been spreading his bad breath all over the microphonium there at WABC, and, what's his name? Ben didn't like it too much. Wanted to spray down the microphone. So, I guess he went to Lysol it or something. I don't know.
Right. They're in trouble over there.
Yeah. Especially now that the big rat bailed out there, Phil. So I mean, it was anarchy before, but this should get pretty interesting in the next month or two or whatever. Thanks for mentioning that, John. That this. The same person got his butt thrown out in Massachusetts.
That's right.
I think that's something to celebrate. And apparently we got a chapter here in this city, so maybe, I hope we get the same results here.
Right.
One more thing came to my mind, as it is, I can't have a hard time getting enough sleep, as it is. And this moron is on the air like it's awake 24 hours a day, it seems like, as you mentioned. And I think it'd be really great, really, really wonderful if they would take old Curtis.
Yeah, right.
And, find a way to have him on the air. What he would like anyway. Have a show for him on several different stations for the entire day.
Oh yeah.
Because the body repairs itself when people are sleeping. The body body repairs itself. And eventually this guy would wear his ticker out and wind up in the hospital and would do us all a favor.
Okay, Stacy. Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Take it easy, mate.
Bye-bye. And let's go to Judge Ronald. And then we'll get to Cheryl. Welcome to The Right Perspective, Judge Ronald.
Hi, Frank. Hi, John.
Hi.
Great show tonight.
Thank you.
You know, one thing that your 1030 guest said that really shook me and shows me just what a dark age America is now entering. He mentioned that he is a member of the NAACP.
Yeah.
To try to show people that he isn't a white racist.
You see, he couldn't understand what I was trying to tell him.
Yeah.
He couldn't.
I sense that. He couldn't. Your point that you were trying to make was that a white person has no responsibility to prove anything. You don't have to go around trying to prove that you're not a white racist.
Right.
It's insanity.
It is.
Absolute insanity. And the fact that white Americans are now at that point where they feel they have to go around begging people to believe they're not white racists, it shows you what a dark age America is now entering.
Oh, without a doubt. You have to validate yourself.
You have to validate yourself for something you're not even guilty of.
I know.
Absolute insanity. And Frank and John, as America enters this dark age and the population changing from white to brown, your program is a beacon of hope for white Americans.
All right, thank you.
You are two of the most important men in America today.
All right, thank you.
Because white Americans can tune in and listen to you and receive hope for the future and guidance. And this week, you'll be receiving an envelope from me of the necessary financial goal that you mentioned.
Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. So how are the Oktoberfest celebrations going down Solutrian Casino?
I'm sorry to tell you that tomorrow, the Solutrian Hotel and Casino will be closed in honor of the great Horg Heider.
That was sad.
He was murdered.
It's sad that Jörg Haider in Austria has left the scene. Yeah,
he was murdered. Isn't it a little coincidental that Pim Fortune was murdered? Isn't it now a little too coincidental that two leaders in Europe who were fighting the invasion, one was murdered and the other was speeding and maybe he was drunk right after his party?
Yeah.
This was a murder.
Right. The lefties survive forever.
that's right. Thank you for telling the world once again about the great Dr. Albert Heim down in the white southern cone.
Well, he's got to come up here and get a position teaching in the university with Bill Ayers. If you can have a Bolshevik bastard in there. And he's he's reformed. He's a professor. I want him up here too. I want David Duke teaching, and I want diversity. Diversity.
On a lighter note, it was a great day in Quebec today.
Yes.
I don't know if you were following it or not.
No.
This morning, President Nicolas Sarkozy got on a plane in East Salutria, France and Spain, and flew across the Atlantic to Quebec City. And at 3:30, he addressed the National Assembly, that's the Quebecois Parliament, and he received the gold medal of the National Assembly. He came across the Atlantic today to honor the 400th anniversary of the white Quebecois nation.
Wow.
And it was really, really quite nice. It was on TV up here all afternoon, and it was a great thing to see.
It must have been. And You know, Judge, what we're doing is we're doing what I call salutrianizing the continent. So I don't call it anymore the Atlantic. To me, it's the Great Eastern Salutrian Sea.
Hey, that's great, the Salutrian Sea.
And the Pacific, of course, is the Great Western Salutrian Sea, and the Great Lakes are the Great Salutrian Inland Sea. You know, we've got to get our people to begin to think of who was here first. But I want you to know that the Salutrian Hotel and Casino, which has been celebrating Oktoberfest, it started with the massive torchlight parade down Fifth Broadway in Manhattan and ended at the Salutrian Hotel and Casino, and the Asatru Festival then segued into Oktoberfest.
Yeah, singing Salutrian songs.
It's been a month, just celebration. So while the casino is closed tomorrow in honor of Hog Haida, in April, during White Race Pride Month at the casino, we're going to hold the first Hog Haida Texas Hold'em High Stake Poker Tournament in his honor. The Salutrian Casino and Hotel Emporium will be holding this annually in his honor, and then eventually we're going to dedicate a room to him.
Yeah, that's great. Absolutely, right beside the Kurt Waldheim room.
That's right.
Have you been following what's happening down in the White Southern Cone in Paraguay?
No, what's going on?
In eastern Paraguay, like in eastern Bolivia, the population is predominantly white, mostly people of German and Portuguese and Spanish descent. And the Beringians are trying to drive them out. There was an article about it in the New York Times.
Those bigots.
Yeah.
Yeah, and It's just like they're trying to drive the whites out of Santa Cruz in eastern Bolivia. It just never stops.
No.
Well, isn't it obvious that it's EEA, history is the struggle of nations and races for environmental existence area, and the white race in southern Salutrian continent in the Great White Cone are fighting for their EEA, and the Beringians want to steal. The whole thing is they want to steal everything that was built up. You know, when you watch the shows where they show Bolivia and they're wearing the funny hats, and then they get drunk once a year in these villages and they beat the living crap out of each other. And I say to myself, what did these people ever achieve? They never achieved anything.
Yeah. It's absolute insanity. I just can't believe that in a few months you may have a nigger president. It's just almost beyond belief.
What gets me is that you look at his background.
Yeah.
That he could not pass an FBI investigation if he was going for that, or if he wanted to join the Secret Service. And yet, that's why I said from the beginning, when he had these rallies and people were fainting, there's an incredible evil surrounding him.
Yeah.
An evil that people can't fathom yet. They don't understand what he is really about. You know, I don't care what they said about Clinton or he was just a whoremonger and an opportunist. Carter was just a product of southern backwoods inbreeding. But this guy, this is pure evil. If you listen to how it peaks out from time, and the American people are, well, hopefully we'll see, maybe, you know, in the end. But if he becomes president, I just you couldn't even recognize this country.
Yeah, it's just insanity, and it's being facilitated by the media.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt.
Without the media, something as screwball, as wacko as this could not possibly have happened.
And you see with Joe the Plumber, that's the real America.
Yeah.
And when the real America sees the contempt and hatred that they have for them, there's hopefully that will be the backlash to keep him out. But if he gets in, this country will be on the verge of civil war in 4 years. I predicted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, gentlemen.
Wait, I have one quick question.
Yeah, Calhoun. When I told her the story, she hit the ceiling, and the whole plan went up in smoke.
What do you think about Putin loaning Iceland money?
Iceland, the banks in Iceland went absolutely crazy, and the country is bankrupt. And I think it's hilarious that Russia is going to step in and bail them out.
Could you imagine this?
Yeah, well, Russia, with the drop in the price of oil, Russia may not have any money soon either.
That's right. A lot of countries are going to get hurt bad, including the flying monkey.
Yes, that's
Iran.
And Iran. And that's really the good thing about this, because we're going to see the rise of nationalism. You cannot keep a nation's natural inclination to assert itself, a folk. You cannot smother their natural inclination. And that's why in Europe there's the backlash against the EU, in Ireland where the economy tanked, if you read today or yesterday in the Times, where they said, you know, we miss the old Ireland. You know, yeah, we were poor, and but everybody was pulled together. There was courtesy with each other. Yeah. You're seeing it. You saw it in Austria. They had to murder the great hog Haider. You know, this is the good thing about this. It's going to bring the rise of nationalism. In Europe now, it's basically everybody, every man for himself.
Yeah.
And scum, like the flying monkey, his whole economy, which is energy-based, it's an economy where, gas is, what, 13 cents a gallon. But an egg, one egg is like around $3. You can't even get eggs or staples. So it's going to bring about, I believe, an army coup. And he's going to wind up like Allende.
Yeah.
Well, Judge, before you go, we got something for you here.
Oh.
Have you ever felt superior to those around you, like a prince among peasants? You are infinitely different. Infinitely superior. You were born of the noblest blood in the world.
John from Staten Island and Frank from Queens.
That is fantastic. And you know, it's so true.
Yes.
We white Caucasians really are the superior master race. You know, every day when you're a white Caucasian nationalist, every day of life is a joy. It really is. Every day is pure fulfillment.
Well,
you have white classical music in the background all day long.
That's right.
Hearing the great composers like Beethoven and Wagner.
That's right.
And you have such pride in being a superior being.
That's right. All you have to do is look at the magnificent achievements of your race and civilization, which they want to tear down and totally destroy.
And you don't have to take out a membership in the NAACP.
That's right. That was pathetic.
Yeah. Okay, gentlemen.
All right, take care. And thank you, Judge. Thank you very much.
I know.
Bye-bye. And, all right, we have John in Connecticut. We're going to get to Cheryl, who's been waiting. Now, not only is she the right perspective candidate for president, but I want to see if our producer could get that Mieskite, that shtick dreck, Sarah Silverman, on, because I want her to debate Cheryl. You know, Hillary Clinton ran, but she couldn't hide from Cheryl. She did everything she could to avoid Cheryl from debating her. But this Sarah Silverman, I want to see her. I want to get her on this show to debate Cheryl. Welcome, Madam President.
Hey, Cheryl.
Yes. Hello, Frank. Hello, John.
All right.
She might be too scared to come on.
Could you?
You know this thing with Joe the plumber?
Yes.
His name is Samuel Joseph.
Right.
Well, in Jewish, that's one word, Shmiyussel.
Oh.
It's not two names, Samuel and Joseph. It's one name, Samuel Joseph Shmiyussel. And a lot of these Jews better wake up in the next 2.5 weeks because this is disgusting.
I'm afraid they
think
won't.
That Jews are going to vote for abominable.
No, they're going to vote for him there because even after what Jesse Jackson said, it doesn't matter. They're suicidal. They're like lemmings rushing to the sea, and they're going to vote for this guy, and that's going to be the story.
Yep.
This is absolutely abhorrent. This is not the Jewish way. The Jews used to have seichel. They used to have a brain that they could think, and they can't recognize the enemy after all these years, after all that's been taught, and the pages that have been written about the Holocaust, and they can't even figure out that this guy who associates with Louis Farrakhan and with the endless primaries that they had with Hillary Rotten, as I love to call her, he got the vote because there was such hate for Hillary.
Yeah.
So he got the vote, and he's been put into this position. He was asked at one of the primaries, at one of the debates, he was asked, is he going to renounce Louis Farrakhan? Because Louis Farrakhan is endorsing him. And he said he wanted that endorsement. He wanted the endorsement from Louis Farrakhan. Not once did they mention that Louis Farrakhan always says the Nation of Islam. They never mention that part of it. The black Muslims, they never mention that. That part the media never mentions. And he said, and he always is a monotone. And Rush is so right. The guy has no sense of humor. And he doesn't go an octave above. He doesn't go an octave below. He just stays on the same line, and he's just hiding behind the same mask.
That's right.
There is such rage, black rage within him.
Sure. Yeah.
And he is looking for Louis Farrakhan, the whole Nation of Islam, the black Muslims, to vote for him. There's no room under the bus. He threw everybody else under the bus. His typical white grandma, Reverend Wrong, everybody else is under the bus.
Oh, he's a megalomaniac.
He is no good from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And how these Jews could even think of voting for him. What's the matter? They never learned anything.
They never read
a book. They keep writing books and books and books. Oh, they're such learned people. Forget about it.
Yeah.
If you didn't learn anything up to this point, and you can't recognize the enemy, and you can't see what evil is, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, that third-rate comic, Sarah Silverman, a Joan Rivers wannabe, she made that video, Schlepping, where the kid tell the kids, don't tell your grandparents in Florida, your booba, your Zeta, that you're not going to visit them because unless they're going to vote for Obama. And she thinks she's one of these people like Joan Rivers who think she's the absolute funniest person in the world. You know the type with the, they laugh like that, muffled after. You know, Joan Rivers, when she had that aborted radio program on WOR, she was reading about people who did like that TV show Jackass. They tried these stupid stunts and they got killed. And she'd read about it, and I'd say, boy, you know what? You're a real lowlife. So I wanted to call her and say, hey, Joan, you know what was really funny? Your husband, Edgar, killed himself because he couldn't stand living with you. Now, that was funny. but this Sarah Silverman, I'd like to get her on the show and have you debate her. Give it to her.
You make every effort to try to get her on, and I am ready. And I would say that you just make every effort to try to bring her on because the Jews have to wake up. They got to see what's going on right in front of him. This is a charlatan. This is a fake. This is an absolute fake. He is so anti-Jewish. He is such an anti-Semite.
He's a Nazi of color.
He surely is. He is looking for the destruction of Israel. If he is willing to sit down without any preconditions to talk to the guy from Iran, then he is absolutely no good. And he is against Israel. And the Jews must have Israel. If there is no homeland, then there is no safe haven in any country, America, Europe, nowhere. There is no place for the Jews to go. and we must have Israel, and that is the key point of the vote for the Jews. And the Jews better wake up and know what's going on and who the enemy is. And what I had said to John when I had called in, I want to say, where is Bill Gates? We know where Warren Buffett is and where Warren Buffett is talking and what he's saying and with his investments and this and that. Bill Gates, he says, oh, we have to give money to the Africans for AIDS. No, we don't. If they have AIDS, why are they spreading it around? If they know it's a deadly disease, why are they spreading it around? If it's a type of disease where the person dies from it, then the disease and the people are ended. The disease will end when the people die. But if they continue to spread the disease, then the disease continues to go on. And Bill Gates wants to give money, 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 money for the AIDS in Africa. Bill Gates wants to give money for malaria. If you sprayed with DDT, you wouldn't have malaria because they got rid of malaria.
Yeah, that, the liberals are responsible for all those deaths as well.
Exactly.
The environmentalists. So the left, you know how many deaths the left's are responsible for? A billion. A billion
it
people.
It goes on and on.
Maybe more.
Yeah.
And the Jews better take the advice of Ed Koch, who for once was right in his life when he said, any Jew that would vote for Jesse Jackson would be nuts.
Have to be crazy.
Crazy.
Except
yeah.
that this
remember that
nuts.
One?
Yeah, but this Alta Kaka Fagala is supporting Obama.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Jesse Jackson and he spoke to a reporter. It was in the New York Post. He says that Obama is going to change or the policy in the Middle East, that the Zionists have been running the policy, have been in control of the policy. Well, and then Obama's people say, oh, he's not one of our spokespersons. Well, Jesse Jackson's son, the co-chairman of Obama's national campaign, and Jesse Jackson's daughter is good friends going back to school grades when Michelle Robinson Obama was going to school. They're girlfriends from way, way back.
Yeah.
So he is a mishbrucha. He is part of the family, mechutin. He is an in-law. This Jesse Jackson, he's not a distant spokesperson. What he says, he gets from inside information.
Yeah.
He knows what he's talking about from start to finish.
Let the winner win and the loser win, but never again should the winner lose and the loser win.
He's a loser all the way, that Jesse
Jackson. You know,
Jackson.
You see the excuse that Obama uses all the time? When you bring up his associations, well, he's not going to be in our cabinet. He's not going to be an advisor. A person doesn't have to be. He doesn't have to be a part of your administration or in the cabinet for you not to take advice from him on the phone or anywhere. So don't give me that. Don't try and get out of it by saying he's not going to be part of the administration. I'll guarantee you, this lefty is listening to every other lefty.
The way and agreeing with
you
every
don't have to
policy.
Be part
I'm
of the
so
administration
glad you brought that up, John. I have from the New York Times dated September 11th 2001 by Denisha Smith, no regrets for a love of explosives. In a memoir of sorts, a war protester talks of life with the weathermen. And the story is about Bill Ayers. He wears earrings. He still has tattooed on his neck the rainbow and lightning weathermen logo. This is on his neck. And they talk about his wife. His girlfriend had been blown up in that Greenwich Village explosion. I think that that townhouse right near Dustin Hoffman's townhouse, could be, because they put Dustin Hoffman's name in the headline. Oh, the townhouse next to Dustin Hoffman's had been blown up. 1970, his girlfriend Diana.
Do you know when I got out of high school, I had a job in a factory. That's when New York had light industry. I had worked, I remember near there, and I remember people telling me that they had had an explosion over there.
Yeah, and it was a horrible thing because this was in a lovely neighborhood in New York. You had a lot of Wall Street people who lived in Greenwich Village because it's so
and a
close
lot of queers.
To work, and it was just a lovely area, fast commute to work, and they had it gentrified, as they like to call it. Everybody had a nice little garden. it was wonderful, and it took the town. It really rocked the town because to think that
I'm Barry Buffman
houses exploded was absolutely unthinkable.
I know it's a shame. And Cheryl, before we go, the news guy just wants to thank you for all the articles you sent. And your latest article will be up on the website right after the show.
Right. There it goes. Cheryl's cutting comments. Thank you, news guy. Thank you.
And we're ready to
get. I just want to say
you
in closing,
Sarah,
because you had Steve from Manhattan on. I went on a jewelry website because a very big diamond that was mined in South Africa, a 316-carat piece, a diamond. It was bought by someone from Dubai, United Arab Emirates, and he's going to give some of the money to a nonprofit organization co-founded by music mogul Russell Simmons, I don't know who that is, that uses diamond profits to educate and empower Africans. They're all nonprofits. You notice that?
Yeah.
And on the same website, 11 jewelry crime suspects nabbed. This is out in Los Angeles. So you got to read down the listing there, and it says that all the suspects, all 11, are suspected of being United States illegal aliens.
Oh, brother.
So when you had Steve of Manhattan on, I said, I got to mention this one to Steve.
That'll set him off.
Yes.
All right, Cheryl, we're going to run.
And the Phillies are going to win the World Series.
Yeah. All right, you and Uncle Warren. He's for the Sox, you're for the Phillies. All right.
There we go. Thank you, and
I'm
good night.
I'm for the Rays.
And you
all
know,
right, Cheryl.
You know, the movie Gladiator, the general Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the northern armies of Rome and the general of the Felix Legion.
Remember that? That's when they were cheering him after he defeated all his enemies in the ring.
Well, what happened was, you know, there was a general that was supposed to succeed Marcus Aurelius, but they never found his name. Well, it turns out that in Rome, where they were doing some construction work, they always come across ruins, and they found the grave of a general who served under Marcus Aurelius. Hmm. And so now we wonder, was that the general that was written about in the sources but never named? They have the guy's name because it's on the monument that they uncovered to him. But I want to get to this before we get to James and John in Connecticut. A lot of people want to know when they say Marxism and Marxist-Leninism, okay? And people really don't know. When Lee Harvey Oswald was debating, he did a debate on a radio show in New Orleans. He said, I'm a Marxist, not a Marxist-Leninist. Well, But what is Marxist-Leninism? Well, Marx predicted revolution in the advanced capitalist countries like Germany or Britain, and he was firmly convinced that peasant societies and backward economies such as Russia and China were the last place on earth for a genuine proletarian revolution. Now think of that. The two of the biggest communist countries in the world, and yet, and that was the contradiction. Oh, remember, folks, you're going to hear a lot from the left, the pseudo-intellectual professors like scumbag William Ayers, about the contradictions in capitalism. Yes, the contradiction. Except that Marxism was founded on a contradiction because the revolutions where it took place were not the countries that it was supposed to take place. Indeed, it presented, so it says, unfortunately, it did not provide any simple guidelines. Indeed, it presented the Bolsheviks with one of their most acute dilemmas. Marx had predicted revolution in the advanced capitalist countries like Germany or Britain. So he had predicted in Germany and Britain, and yet later, where did it take place? Russia and China. But this is your key to Obama, and please remember this, because if you remember this and you understand it, you are going to understand what's taking place in this country. Lenin, on the other hand, had invented a set of political techniques with, and I'll bring this in to read on the shortwave, with which a ruthless band of determined activists could seize power despite unfavorable social and economic conditions. What is more, he actually succeeded in taking control of the largest state in the world and in setting up a totalitarian dictatorship in clear contradiction of previous Marxist precepts. You got it? So, you know, Henry Ford said history is debunk. It's not. A lot of people like this rather elderly gentleman goes, I know my history. History isn't knowing dates and a couple of cliches. This is an excellent book, Rising 44, The Battle for Warsaw, because he goes into detail about the background to the Bolsheviks and how, you know, the Poles under the great General Pilsudski repelled the Bolsheviks under Lenin, who tried to take over Poland, because Lenin had what he called the Red Bridge. That is, that the Red Army would invade right across Poland and right to the English Channel and be welcomed by the workers. But in fact, he was repulsed by Pilsudski. And Pilsudski had the doctrine of the two enemies. Poland was a nation between two great empires, Germany and Russia, and had to watch the path that it walked. So he never really took any. And I want to get Pat Buchanan on to talk about his book. But that's what Lenin thought. So just remember that, a determined band. And they grabbed power. They seized power in Russia. They talk about Pinochet and how he overturned the elected Allende government. Kerensky was elected. Why don't they call it the Bolshevik coup? Oh, no, it's the Bolshevik, the October Revolution. No, it was a coup. This bastard, that's what they want to do. Acorn. Oh, look at what's happening. Just understand what your history, at least the way it's taught to you on the right perspective. You'll understand what's going on. Who should we get to first, James?
Let's go to John first because he's been waiting over here for an hour. And then
welcome
to
Right Perspective, John.
Gentlemen.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Once again, the Right Perspective is months ahead of the other talk shows.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I mean, how long have we been warning that the Ministry of Lies would now take on the citizenry of the country?
Of course.
Yep.
How if you dared disagree with Obama, they'll turn it on you.
Yeah, whatever suits them, whatever they have to do.
Yep, and this Joe the Bummer, everybody's loving him for helping McCain make the tax argument, but he's helping to make our argument we've been making here on the Right Perspective for months and months, is that they're coming for us. They're coming for average Joe citizen. And look,
sure, look what they did to Sarah Palin, another
calling
average.
Calling him a racist and all this. They're trying to silence any other people like him, you, or I, that may want to speak out of future. Scare it. I don't want all my records out on the internet. I don't want my divorce looked at. You know, could you imagine this?
Yeah. Well, that's what you get with the left. Anything goes, as long as they can obtain power. It's their life's work, gaining power. That's why they never give up. But that's why they never stop. Tell me something, John. Remember when the Democrats lost 52 seats in the House in 1994, right? Did they say, you know, maybe we better start to redefine liberalism and what we believe? Did they talk about any change like the Republicans and all? We've got to redefine conservatism. No. They went on the attack even more, and they continued the attack until finally they've won out now. They're going to have the House. They're going to have the Senate. They'll probably have the presidency, and they'll probably have the Supreme Court all to themselves eventually. They did not once say, we better change. No.
Nope.
They just said, like Bill Clinton said, well, this just goes to show that people want to change, but it didn't come fast enough. And then they went on the attack for years and years and never stopped and got even worse.
It reminds me of watching The Sopranos or the Mafia shows, watching politics. You always thought that they'll fight amongst each other, but they'll never go after the average citizen. They always say that he's a citizen or whatever. But now they're so ready to take on the citizenry now and do what they did to this Joe the Plumber. I mean, it's gone beyond anything conventional. It's gone way over the top. And
well, once he becomes a threat to their political power, he's no longer a citizen. He's an enemy.
I mean, why? Because he answered a question? Or, you know, because he dared to bring up a question and Obama answered it. I mean, now he is, you know, and they've been beating him up, asking him for interviews, saying, don't hide, come out and tell us how you really feel. So he comes out and tells them how.
Right,
he
so
feels.
They can gang up on him on one of these shows like The View.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, those douchebags, who cares?
Yep. And one other big point that just hit me this week, listening to Hannity. And how he keeps drumming the Reagan stats over and over about how great Reagan did during the 80s. And obviously, we know them by heart. And, you know, it's pretty big. But it just got me to thinking about JFK and, you know, why aren't they properly using him as the true example of how to fight back this? Because remember, the new left, they turned JFK into their messiah for the last 40 years. And now Obama represents the second coming of that messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all a myth. They created that myth of JFK to suit their own political purposes. You know, Frank, you know JFK.
Yes.
He was a big increaser of defense spending.
That's right.
He's an aggressive anti-communist.
And a tax cutter.
He was a friend of St. Joe McCarthy.
He was a Cold Warrior.
Yeah, and he proposed the biggest tax cut in history.
Yeah, even bigger than Reagan's.
Yeah, bigger. I mean, that was the biggest. And they can't stand the fact that he was a tax cutter, and they try to eliminate that from history, and they want to monopolize his legacy and say what can and can't be said about him, and it's heresy to say that that was his way of beating a recession.
Oh, they were outraged in the 2004 elections when the Republicans brought out his audio tapes that suggested the cutting taxes to improve the economy.
I've never heard it before, like actually in his words. I knew that he had asked for this great tax cut, and it didn't get through. It died before he got it through, and it was Johnson who actually pushed it through the year after because it's, you know, stalled in the Congress. So I never really thought there was a lot of speeches on it, but I just sent you over a YouTube video, John. It's about 2 minutes long. Do you have that? Can you pull that up?
Let's see here.
I emailed it to them. I mean, everybody's got to hear it. They won't believe it coming out of his voice. This should be a two-minute spot. They should just run it unedited as a campaign commercial for McCain. I mean, it's unbelievable. He talks about how to beat a recession and how to stop it, and he talks about the across-the-board tax cut and helping the little people.
Yeah, well, they won't bring that up. Suddenly, John F. Kennedy will be a non-person if it doesn't suit their agenda.
But it's got to help that middle range of that independent voter that we're trying to get to vote for McCain. If you can show them, it's not just Ronald Reagan, but it's JFK, your supposed messiah, the one you based your whole reason for being, is to get all these people want to get into politics because of JFK and all that. And
yeah, they ought to bring it up again.
If you can show them again and again how this was his principle.
Yeah, they ought to bring it up again and drive the Democrats crazy.
All right, John, I've got to get going.
All right.
Can you play that video, though, John? Or play that audio?
Give me a couple of minutes because I have to switch it over.
And it'll be some great stuff for the listeners. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. And let's go to James in Hackensack. Welcome to the Right Perspective.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
I called because I've heard you talk a lot about Obama, and I don't think you've talked about AFRICOM.
Yes.
And I think this is really what the rise of Obama is all about. Do you know what AFRICOM is?
No. What is it?
Okay. AFRICOM is the United States military's coordinated project for Africa.
Oh, right.
It is currently based in Stuttgart, Germany. Now, they have tried to get it into Africa. No African country has agreed to host it. Bush's billion-dollar giveaways to Africa were not altruism, but a form of bribery. But it didn't work. This is what Obama is all about. This is why he is where he is now. And this is why he's going to be the next president. There is an agenda here. Now, I think it was last week, Jerome Borsi was detained.
Right.
In Kenya.
Yeah.
And shipped out. That ought to show the close ties that Mr. Obama has with Kenya.
That's right.
I would think Kenya might be one place where we can locate AFRICOM. Mm. But this is what it's all about. Obama is giving a facelift to U.S. imperialism. That's what it's all about. Comments?
Well, explain that.
Yeah.
Explain what?
Obama's giving a facelift to U.S. imperialism. What does that mean?
Well, as I just said, the United States has tried to get their military bases into Africa. No African country will host them.
Yeah, but we're training the military in Uganda. We have training with them. So, well, we might not have a base yet. Eventually we'll have a base.
Eventually. You'll certainly have them with President Obama. This is what it's all about.
Do you think we'll have a base?
Getting the United States in and kicking the Chinese out.
Well, that's true.
Well, we might not have a military after Obama's finished.
That's right. That's right.
That's just silly.
Why?
Yeah, well, the only time liberals want to cut back on spending is when it's for the military.
Mr. Obama has already come out. This is a campaign promise I guarantee you he'll keep. Increased troops in Afghanistan. He buys into the war on terror completely.
Really?
He absolutely does. That was in a New York Times op-ed piece he wrote.
I don't know what history books you've been reading, but all he's been talking about is pulling our troops out of Iraq so that we can lose.
Listen, the New York Times op-ed piece.
The New York Times?
And I believe this was in February of this year.
That's a reliable source?
He wrote it, John.
Okay? Who wrote it?
This is a campaign promise of his, and it's one that he'll keep.
You believe anything Obama's going to say, especially someone running for president?
When it comes to military expenditures, look, this guy is getting people to vote for him because he is supposedly anti-war. That is nonsense. He is going to further the agenda.
All right. Well, whatever you think. Thank you very much, James.
Frank?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
I do have one other thing to say.
Yes.
It's a brief complaint. It's just a little note of disappointment.
Yes.
You had a caller earlier.
Yes.
The judge.
Yes.
Did I hear him refer to Obama as a nigger?
No.
He didn't.
The judge is very passionate in what he says. We allow people to express themselves, but
I know you do, and I respect you for that.
You know.
But I was a little disappointed.
When he said that, if you listen to the tape closely, when he said that, I went, like a little bit. But, it's really something that we don't like normally right. for people
we
to
never
do.
Yeah,
it's not stuff that you guys ever say, and I don't think you're racist.
No, we never say it. But you know what? In the end, it doesn't matter what you're going to say about him, because in the end, you're going to be called a racist. That's the danger.
Well, I...
In the end, no matter what you say...
The news guy wants to get in on this.
Okay, hold on. If Philip Berg could be called... Yeah.
Yeah, you can jump in. Just give us a couple of seconds, news guy.
If Philip Berg could be called a racist, then anybody can. And the point here is this. Why should you have to rationalize or validate your reason for doing what he's doing by saying, I'm not a racist and I could prove it? I mean, this is insane. This is insane. This is what goes on in a communist country. I'm not a capitalist pig. I'm not a capitalist rota. I'm not a wrecker. I'm a good communist, or I'm a good... come on, what kind of country has this become? Is that what you want to live in? Is that the kind of country we want? I don't want it.
Yeah. Well, can I chime in on
this? Yeah, go ahead. Our producer wants to speak. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah, James, is it, right?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay, James, I only heard the beginning of your call when you were saying that Obama is part of a facelift on the imperialism. I'll use imperialism in quotes because I don't really think...
Yeah, I was going to say something about that too, but I'll let you...
I have to be honest. I don't think that America is involved in imperialism per se, but what happens is that when America involves itself in foreign entanglement, for lack of a better word, or if it invests itself in foreign countries, it's always blamed as being a racist country who's out for mining the country for different reasons. I mean, a perfect case in point is what's going on in Zimbabwe, communist-occupied
right.
Rhodesia, where Mugabe's always using the race card. He throws it around like a cheap dollar bill. I mean, he keeps saying that it's imperialist America and Britain who's trying to take it over and all this. So what the idea, and this is something that our guest from last week was bringing up, and I was kind of disappointed that he didn't really explain it correctly as the way that I understood him saying it before. What the American foreign involvement, foreign interest, wanted to do is to kind of cut that argument off completely. So if they have a black face up on the front as being a president, they can no longer say, A, America's a racist country, and B, any of its foreign involvements in countries like Zimbabwe and what have you are no longer part of an imperialist campaign. They're really more for, see, he's a black guy, he's a brother, he's not going to hurt you. And that's kind of what you write.
Well, to an extent, although it's not so much his skin color, it's the fact that he has close family ties with Kenya. I understand your point, but what I'm saying is, I mean, he has close family ties with Kenya, and he's loved in Africa. And that's really what this is all about. And that's why he's come so far, so fast, out of nowhere. Because the military option, given the deficits and the economy, we can't afford to keep invading countries. They need to open doors.
Right.
And that's where Obama comes in.
Well, first of all, we don't invade countries. We liberate countries.
We differ there, but go ahead.
Well, how can you differ? When was the last time we invaded a country and made it the 51st state?
I did not say anything about annexing countries or conquering territory. Invading a country is quite different than annexing or claiming territory.
Did we annex?
Are you denying that we've invaded Afghanistan?
We liberated. We liberated Iraq.
No, that's what you want to call
it. 50 million people. I knew that you were a big Obama supporter.
I have no intention of voting for him. You've got an affinity
for this guy that you're standing up for him. We liberated. We liberated 50 million people in two different countries. And we had the atomic bomb for four years.
The concept is that he's coming from not from the perspective.
I don't like his language.
Well, yeah, I understand you don't like his language, but he's not an Obama supporter.
It's
a big point with a lot of anti-American sentiment with the people who view America as being something of a meddling force. And I know you don't like that, but just hear it out for a second. The people who are view America as being something that is an intrusive factor in foreign countries, they're now coming forward with this theory that the United States is now going to put this guy up in power because of his skin color, because of his relations as a foreign with foreign people in other countries. So that's kind of where he's coming from on this. He's in no way an Obama supporter.
Can I just say something? I wanted Ron Paul. Okay.
Right.
I'm not voting for Obama.
Right.
You know, and you go back to the principles of the founding fathers. I think the quote from Thomas Jefferson is peace, commerce, and friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. And that's the principles this country was founded on. Well, I'm not for Obama. You're wrong, John.
I wish that we would meddle a lot more. I'm all for this country freeing every country that's under the thumb of a murdering skunk tyrant. You know, guy would be jumping up and down with joy if we liberated Venezuela
if you want that to happen, what this guy is saying, that you should vote for Obama because that's what Obama's going to do.
He's going to do it bloodless.
Instead of doing it with a gun and a fleet of Air Force contingents going into a country, he's going to do it by sitting down and having open discussions.
Yeah, that's what we thought Bill Clinton was going to do. He thought he could charm North Korea into being the good little people that they are. And what did they do? They slapped him on the back and said, oh, yeah, don't worry. We're all with you. Just send us all that money so we can use it to develop nuclear weapons behind your back while we laugh behind your back and slap you with the other hand on your back.
News guy, you're absolutely right. And Clinton is a poor analogy. Again, I point to what happened with Corsi.
It's a realistic analogy.
Yeah, but listen what he's talking about. He's talking about Jerome Corsi. Yeah, but you know what? What happened with Jerome Corsi to me is indicative, not that because he wants to, we're going to set up better relations with Africa and get what we want. It's indicative of a Marxist-Leninist, and it's indicative of someone who brooks no opposition, who is actually, I would say this man is actually paranoid, that he is so frightened. So, look, he went after, look at the way they're going after Joe the Plumber. Look at the way they're going after Palin. Look at the way they went after, they were investigating them because they want to stop untruths, investigated for that. Look at what they did to our other guests that we had on from the American Project that ran the Obama ad about him. Come on, I'm looking at that's Bill Clinton.
Look at what happened to Larry Sinclair. I mean,
right, Larry Sinclair.
But the point that I think is really interesting is that, all right, while James is saying that Obama is kind of like this, this opening up of the continuing of American involvement in foreign countries under a different cover. What also has to be said is that it can be blended in with what you're saying, Frank, is that the fact of the matter is that it goes a little bit further and a little bit deeper than just American continuing of American involvement in foreign countries under a different flavor. It continues with a blending in an alliance with Marxist option, with Marxist theory and Marxist dictators, and somehow incorporating that into the whole mix, and also as a maybe one could say that it might be a further and this is a bit going into a much more conspiratorial type of thing, but it would be a much darker, no pun intended, a much darker thing where we're looking at Marxists becoming part of the foreign policy, Marxism becoming full part of the foreign policy of American involvement in foreign countries.
Yeah, but you know what, News Guy? Whenever the West tries to pacify or, you know, try to play the diplomatic thing where you win people, inevitably the West loses. Look at Neville Chamberlain. He thought he could talk Hitler into being a good person. And Hitler smiled at him, and he came home with a piece of paper. We got peace in our time. We saw what there's only one way to defeat dictators. You can win militarily, and you smash them.
Well, you don't have to. You just get elements within that country to do it for you, and you aid them. This way you could have them overthrown entirely.
But they have to be overthrown, either subverted or physically. Did you think any kind of talk to Saddam Hussein was going to get him out of Kuwait? No, we did the right thing then, and we said, you're not getting away with it, and we kicked his butt out of there. And he's not around anymore to threaten that poor country.
Okay, I'm not an apologist for Saddam Hussein. Your analogy with Chamberlain is a poor one because Britain was a militarily weak country. The United States is not. Okay, and Obama's ties are not merely with Africa; they're also with Indonesia. And the only reason I called was to bring up AFRICOM because I just haven't heard it mentioned. What you're talking about with a Marxist-Leninist agenda, I don't know that I agree with that. His biggest contributors are from Wall Street.
Doesn't mean anything.
You might be right there, Frank. You could be right.
Yeah, I think his biggest contributors are from Arab nations that sneaking this money in.
Well, I would love to have that proved. I would love to see it.
Well, then why don't you prove that his biggest contributors are from Wall Street? You don't know that.
Well, no.
Yes, I do, in fact. There's a website. The last time I looked, Goldman Sachs had contributed over $600,000.
Yeah, but you see, all of this argument that we're making and we're arguing.
It's just a friendly discussion.
Right, but it's also moot. And it's moot.
I've heard it, John.
It's also moot for a very important reason, James, because nobody really knows anything about him. If you knew anything about him, the way they vetted out Joe the Plumber, that would be different. Here's a man that's running for president. We don't really know anything.
I know a lot about him.
We don't even know if he's a citizen. We haven't seen his birth certificate. We know nothing about his years at Columbia University. We know absolutely nothing about him.
I know a lot about him, Frank. I know that he's a tax raiser. I know that he's a socialist. I know that he's a redistributor of wealth. I know he hates white people.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah?
He does.
What about this, Abe? White man's greed keeps a world in need. How about he's a typical white woman? About his mother. Hold on, let the news guy speak.
Okay, I think this whole idea about nobody knows what Obama really is actually is, if you want to play into the conspiracy, if you want to view the concept that James is going with, if you want to view that perspective, then what this idea that nobody knows what Obama really is actually plays into that, because then at any time, the people who are putting Obama into power, if Obama gets out of hand, they say, oh, yeah, well, you get out of hand, we're going to pull out all those things from the Columbia years where...
That's what I think the Reverend Wright thing was all about. It's a little reminder.
Yeah. I know he's also a blame America firster.
Yeah.
Everywhere this guy goes, he talks about how America's failed and America was wrong and we've got to improve America.
You know, Frank said something when you guys had Philip Berg on. Frank said something... Very perceptive and right on. He said, who is backing this guy?
Yeah.
And that's my point, that he is the representative of an agenda.
That's right.
And that's what I called for.
Well, I know one group that isn't backing him, the Heritage Foundation.
And
I don't think any Ron Paul supporters are backing him either.
No, and let me tell you, nobody knows who's supporting him. Nobody knows how this guy just suddenly comes. Look, this was all set up. The the Republican in Chicago with the wife from Star Trek. I always forget his name. The news guy knows it.
Last name is Ryan.
Right, Congressman Ryan, and he was supposed to run, and all of a sudden the judge unsealed the unsealable, his divorce file. It came out, and he was pushed to prominence. They put Alan Keyes up against him. You know, he may be a nice guy. We had him on the show. But Alan Keyes, if you ask him what time it is, he gives you the history of Big Ben. You know, he can't really, articulate it to a crowd. He's too in love with hearing himself sound brilliant. So he gives you all this extemporaneous verbiage and, he puts you to sleep. So the point is, this man was carefully cultivated. You look at his contacts throughout his life. Come on. So the whole question, look, I read the same article in the op-ed piece of the Times that you did. And what I got from it is he blames this country for everything that's wrong in the world. I'm not interested in his grandfather and his goats in Kenya. I couldn't care less. I'm only interested in my country. I have a peripheral interest in those countries. Kenya proved what it really was when they had those riots, just as you're going to have soon in South Africa. Mm-hmm. This man blames America. This man is a Marxist-Leninist, and what we're witnessing is a Marxist-Leninist coup in this country. They had their agent, their NGOs like Acorn ready. They have the word to go, and they're doing exactly what they're told. And with that, fellas, I got to get out of here. So
all right.
Great talking.
All right, it's been a wonderful discussion. Thank you, gentlemen.
Call again.
Yeah, oh, by the way, James, before you go,
yes,
would you, if you can get a hold of anybody in Obama's offices, tell him to spread his wealth back to his brother in Kenya who makes $12 a year.
I have no contact with anyone in the Obama campaign.
Yeah.
I'm not an Obama supporter. I don't seem to get that across to you. The news guy understands.
Okay, yes, I do too. Take it
all
easy.
Right.
Good night.
Good evening, gentlemen. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, news guy.
Yeah.
That was a real interesting call, and that was a real a good way to end the show like that.
Yes, it certainly was.
Yeah, I just didn't like
at the end of the show
when a guy uses the words imperialism and invade when speaking of my country. That really uncorks me, because we invade conjures up images of Nazi Germany invading Poland to take it over and subjugate it. And with the idea that it will never be Poland again. We liberated Grenada. Is Grenada have anything to do with the United States? Has it become an outpost of the United? No. We went in, we got our people, we kicked the lefties out, and we left. The same thing with Panama.
Well, it's kind of like if you could view it like in terms of national politics,
yeah.
The way that like tonight, Bill Burr came on. He's like, I'm not a racist. I'm a paid in full member of the NAACP.
How pathetic.
That's what's happening in international politics, where whenever America goes in someplace, the people in the country, the first thing they say, it's America's imperialist and America's racist and they're just blah, blah, blah. So now they're thinking in terms of a marketing strategy, like, okay, we got to get somebody up there who's got, like, he kind of represents an international flavor.
Right.
He's got a darker face. He's got connections all across the world. Obama fits that role perfectly for these guys. And that's kind of like what, when this guy James is saying, like, the imperialist, he's kind of using the rhetoric of the enemies of America who resent it when it liberates countries. If you want to view it that way.
I understand. We're going to play the clip that John from Connecticut sent.
Okay.
I don't know. There you go. Yeah, that's about with JFK. It's not up there. It's down here. It's down here.
Yeah, you know, we had that author on a while back who wrote the book about JFK that showed that he was actually a cold warrior and he was really...
Oh, right. That's right.
Remember that?
Yeah. Now, you see, that's it. This guy has so much mystery about him.
I have to download it and then switch it over to the other computer. It won't play from this computer.
Okay, so we'll do it next week.
Well, I get... When,
yeah, so, you want to do it?
No, all right. Hey, Frank.
What?
Frank.
If,
Craig, since you were able to play audio over your computer, if you just go to that link, that I think it's just a link that John from Connecticut sent, you could just go to that link, play it over your computer, and it can be broadcast over the air.
Oh.
Yeah, John from Connecticut, send that clip to another ID. It's Angie of S-I, A-N-G-I-E-O-F-S-I. Okay, and I'll be able to play it.
Yeah. All right, he's going to send it now. All right, I'm going to get going.
All right, Frank.
Okay, I'll talk to you later, during the week, news guy.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Any, yeah, oh, you want to, let me get, let, hold on, let
I'm
me get, let me
four
get
in
Frank.
The morning.
Yeah, oh, yeah? Sounds like me. Let me, all right, let me give Frank, let me give Frank his tape.
And I can maybe just regale the audience with
yeah,
some,
yeah, go ahead, news guy.
There's a lot of good stuff going on. I'm thinking about doing a special new election year or election evening show, which would be separate from my perspective. But we'll let you know what's going on with that as it goes along. So we'll just, you know, stay tuned for that.
Yep.
Because it could be some interesting stuff. You never know. We might have some interesting guests on there and all of this kind of stuff. But for the evening of election eve, you know, like November 4th or whatever it is, November 3rd.
Yeah.
I don't know. When are the elections over there in America, Frank and John? I guess it's November 4th, right?
Yeah, it's always a Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's a Tuesday.
Well, okay.
So we'll probably have we might be recovered. You know, if Obama wins, we might be able to recover a little bit by Friday. So, yeah,
because I think that if Obama wins, I think that a lot of people will be will go and have to you know, be carried home from the bars, the local bars.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So,
but
maybe it's a good thing it is on a Tuesday, because by Friday we might be able to you know, get ourselves together.
Yeah.
To do the show.
Yeah, there is a lot of interesting things, and if you want to know, I mean, if you think that like Congress in America is really bad, I mean, there's all these corruption things. That guy down in Florida, he's a Democrat who got in on family values, and it turns out that while he was campaigning, he was saying that, you know, he was having an affair with some woman.
Tim Mahoney.
Yeah, Tim Mahoney. And meanwhile, the mainstream media doesn't really talk about it except for one article. But, you know, South African's parliament is really corrupt. I put this up on the website, but check this out. All right. 29 of South Africa's parliament have been accused of spousal abuse.
Wow. Oh, man. Well, that's a way of life. It's a way of life over there.
7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses.
Oh,
3 have done time for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 are currently defendants in lawsuits.
Oh, you got to send that.
84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the last year. I mean,
oh, you
got to
put that up on the site, news guy.
Yeah, yeah, it's up on the site right now, but it's just, you know, be thankful you're in America, because you could be living in South Africa. So.
Boy, I tell you. Give the brothers a chance.
Yeah, but that's what you get when you give them a chance.
Everything they get their hands on, mm-hmm. whether it's, what's his name in Michigan, that the mayor that's now in jail.
Kwame Kilpatrick.
Yeah, David Dinkins, look what he did to New York.
Yeah.
Marion Barry in Washington, who that Congressman Jefferson with the $90,000 cash in his refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on and on. So
I think, but even San Francisco, when they had a black mayor at one point, he really ruined that city for a while.
Yeah, well, Tom Bradley was mayor of Los Angeles for 20 years in the 1970s to, you know, I guess till around early 1990s, and Los Angeles turned into a hellhole. I mean,
under his watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? Too much.
Yeah, keep electing the brothers.
But, you know, the whole thing was also with these polls that I was looking at.
Yeah.
Like, there was a Gallup poll that I saw just yesterday. And they said that, okay, he used to have 11, Obama used to have 11 points. And now it's narrowed down to 6 points. And during the election, I mean, during this polling period, when it was leading up to Wednesday's debate, the period, that gap has been narrowing. And when they Gallup views it under what they call traditional voters, like it's like traditional likely voters, that factors in prior voting behavior as well as current voter intentions, it shows Obama only has a 2-point margin over McCain.
Yeah, there's a couple of polls now that are showing him with just a 2-point lead. But
yeah.
And hopefully the same this year, there's a lot more Democrats being polled in all of these polls than Republicans.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think that they're doing that intentionally. I think because you know what it is? A lot of this just is about creating a mood or a feeling. So if, you know, if you feel like everything is the fault of Bush and, oh, the last 8 years were horrible, but that's really only because of what you're feeling right now because the media is telling you this at this moment. And you look back and you don't think about all the good things that happened to the economy over the last 8 years under Bush.
Well,
and,
I'm glad you mentioned that because that is really an outrage how not one Republican has come to the defense of this administration and said, well, wait a minute. How come you have a very selective memory, you Democrats? How come you don't mention the 5.5 to 6 years of an economic boom unprecedented in this country because of tax cuts that you opposed, by the way, and it was you Democrats that brought the economy down? Now that this thing with the housing market has blown up in our face and the fact that oil prices are sky high because we haven't been able to build a refinery, a nuclear plant, or drill for our own resources for the last 30 years because the environmentalist wackos are in your back pocket.
Right.
Not one of them has said that.
None of them. You know, I feel sorry for Bush because,
yes,
you know, he's got like such a low rating right now, but you know, there's a lot of stuff that he really did to help the country. And I think, and I do believe this, I think that history will prove Bush out. And
yes,
I think that all of the things that started under Bush with the Middle East, I think that when peace finally does come to the Middle East, people will look back at what happened during Bush's years and they will see that it was because of him.
That's
true.
Hey, look, they thought John F. Kennedy was a great president, but since his death, turns out he wasn't so good, except for the economy, because he wanted to cut the taxes.
Yeah.
And Harry Truman is looked upon as a great president today, and he left office with a 23% approval rating. So I think George Bush will be, just as history has shown Ronald Reagan to be such a great president, despite the vilification of the left, history somehow is a way of sorting things out.
Yes, yes. But history will never be able to sort out Jimmy Carter.
he's an aberration. He should be retired to a home and studied in a laboratory.
What not to do into a presidency, during a presidency.
Yeah, this mind, his brain should be studied when he goes because this is one of the most twisted. Well, he's a very bitter old man. He can't get over the fact. He blames everyone else for his disastrous administration.
Yes, it's always whoever it is at that time. He just feels
that he hates Reagan. He hated Reagan. He hated Bush. But for him to criticize somebody else's economic policies after he left office with 21% interest rates, 9.5% unemployment, and 12.5% inflation, gas lines, oh, man. He has an unembarrassability. But, News Guy, I'm going to run. And
okay, you don't
we...
have that tape from...
yes, I do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play that tonight. And tonight we'll be playing... By the way, we won't have the Best of John and Frank Volume 120, but we'll be playing Volume 121 because last week I didn't play 120 after the show, but I put it up on the archive on Live 365, and I'm going to leave that one along with the Best of John and Frank from Volume 121. So there'll be two Best of John and Franks, Volume 120 and 121, on the Live 365 archive this week, because you may not have known that 120 was up there, because I didn't play it last week. So we'll have two volumes, 120 and 121, the Best of John and Frank, along with the show tonight. And I started to record and make files for those Best of John and Frank volumes 1 through 55, so we can get them all done and have them put on DVD eventually. So I got four done in the last 10 days or so, so it'll be a little time before we get them all. But I think they're all going to fit on one DVD, which is great. All right, so I'm going to play that clip now, and this is from...
All right, I'll let you go.
Okay, news guy, and thanks for everything you did. And this is from August 13th, 1962, John F. Kennedy.
The worst deficit comes from a recession. And if we can take the proper action in the proper time, this can be the most important step we could take to prevent another recession. That is the right kind of a tax cut, both for your family budget and the national budget, resulting from a permanent basic reform and reduction in our rate structure. A creative tax cut, creating more jobs and income, and eventually more revenue. And the right time for that kind of bill, it now appears, in the absence of an economic crisis today, and if the job is to be done in a responsible way, is January 1963. Such a bill will be presented to the Congress for action next year. It will include an across-the-board, top-to-bottom cut in both corporate and personal income taxes. It will include long-needed tax reforms that logic and equity demand. And it will date that cut in taxes to take effect as of start of next year, January 1963. The billions of dollars this bill will place in the hands of the consumer and our businessmen will have both immediate and permanent benefits to our economy. Every dollar released from taxation that is spent or invested will help create a new job and a new salary. And these new jobs and new salaries can create other jobs and other salaries, and more customers and more growth for an expanding American economy. Instead of being permanently saddled with excess planned capacity and the budgetary deficit that is created by this means, our goal must be full capacity and full employment and the budgetary surpluses that that kind of employment and capacity can produce.
Wow. I know the Democrats don't want to hear that. I've got to make a file out of that and keep that on my computer. Keep that in my audio soundbite files. That's great. We ought to put that up on the website. Oh, well, man. How the Democrat Party has changed, huh, folks? That's a Kennedy out Reagan. And notice, by the way, he said across the board tax cuts. See, this way there's no room to play tricks in bringing millions of others in on your huge tax increase like Obama and Bill Clinton did. See, they always have targeted tax cuts because they want to be able to play and do their little trickery so they can include millions of others by saying, well, you know, if you did this or if you took your 401k or you sold your house, you would actually have a lot more income. So therefore, now we consider you to be wealthy and you're going to get the tax increase as well. And that's the trick. But if you say across the board tax cuts, that's it. It's across the board. What, you know, everybody's included and nothing else follows. You'll never hear that from another Democrat. This is the last Democrat, John F. Kennedy, who said across-the-board tax cuts. Democrats always like to play the class war figure. We're going to cut taxes for the middle class. Well, wait a minute. What, the middle class are the only people in the United States? And I another term I hate is working class people. That's a Marxist term. Anyone who has a job is working class. Bill Gates is a working class American, okay? He's got a job. So is Donald Trump. He's a working class American. What, rich people don't work? They're not of the working class? How did they get to where they were if they never did a day's work? They worked harder than anyone, and that's why they are where they are. So when you hear that term working class and all this other stuff, watch out for these Marxist terms. And I don't use the term capitalism either. I use the term free market. Capitalism is also a term that's used to denigrate our financial system here in the United States and put it down as being unfair. You capitalist pig, you capitalist rotor. And those are all terms that communists use to make you seem selfish and self-centered, or you're only interested in your own wealth. You know what? Every American and everyone should hope that everyone becomes wealthy. You don't want to be the only wealthy person, because then somebody will say you should carry the whole burden. If everyone is wealthy, it makes you more wealthy. Because if everyone has money to spend, that means it creates a demand for more products. When you create a demand for more products, you have to manufacture more. When you manufacture more, companies have to hire more people. That opens up the job market for you. When more people are hired, more money comes into the United States Treasury so they can provide the services, and you don't ever have to worry about your Social Security going bankrupt. So the derogatory term of trickle down that the liberals use is really more like pour down. Trickle down is used to make it, you know, there's some little guy getting the crumbs that fell off the table. That's the type of language the left uses. Always a language to make you angry, like you're just getting the crumbs. You're getting what's left over. And you always have to listen to the language of the left. It's always geared toward making you angry at someone who you're supposed to think got something more than you unfairly. If somebody has makes a dollar more in their salary, somehow that's unfair. They got it by some kind of nefarious means, or they took it, somehow they took it out of your pocket so that they could have the extra dollar. And that's the game the left always plays. It's very dangerous. No tax. John McCain should be answering Obama's claim that he's going to cut taxes for the middle class with a very simple response. Senator, no tax increase is a good tax increase. No one's taxes should be increased. You should never be happy, folks, when anyone else's taxes go up. That doesn't help you. It doesn't do anything for you. Well, you're going to have the Saturday. They finally got those wealthy pigs. Yeah? Well, when those wealthy pigs start finding ways to take their money out of their accounts and send them overseas, and they're not invested here in the United States in our companies and institutions, well, you're going to find out that maybe wealthy people aren't so bad to have around after all. All right, I guess I've vamped enough here, so I'm going to close it up for tonight, folks, and you'll be listening to The Best of John and Frank, Volume 121, in a couple of seconds. So thanks for joining us, everyone. Please, once again, we need some help. If you want to help out The Right Perspective, get a pencil ready. I'll vamp for about a minute longer till you get that pen and send us some help, because we really need the help tonight or for the next few weeks. And if it strikes your fancy, you can make out a check or money order to WWCR. That's not Frank and John. That we send it straight to WWCR when we get it in our box. A check or money order to WWCR. Make it out to WWCR and mail it to Frank and John, Box 117, 9508 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. That's Frank and John, Frank and John, Box 117-9508, 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. We thank all of you for your help in the past and for your help in the future. We really, really appreciate it. We know who you are. And News Guy, I want to thank you for all the hard work that you do. You spend a lot of time in helping out the show, folks. And take a look at the website and the great work that the News Guy has done. He's really improved our website for us, and he's the best producer in the business as far as we're concerned. And speaking of the best of, here comes the best of John and Frank, volume 121. And don't forget, 121 and 120 will be up archived all week long. You may have to wait. If one is playing, you have to wait till the other one finishes before you can listen to the other one. There's no way of choosing which one you want to listen to. That's the only bad thing. Now, we got to find out if we can do something about that and get maybe a player or a system where we can broadcast that allows us to choose what we want to play if it's up there in the playlist, just like you would on your iPod or your MP3 player. Okay, I'm going to throw the switch now for the Best of John and Frank, Volume 121. We'll see you all next week. And once again, thanks for staying up late with us. Good night, everyone.